the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
Alex Jones going to be coming back in the next segment with all kinds of news to cover, as well as an emergency message for President Donald Trump. But in the short segment, and to start off the broadcast today, I want to contrast what's happening in America right now between proud American patriots and victims of Trump derangement syndrome. First, let's go to what I found to be a very powerful video of an American man singing, "I'm proud to be an American." This was caught on video at a Chick-fil-A. I found this to be very powerful and even brought me to tears last night. This is the state, this is the real state of America, Americans being proud, patriots being proud, and people having confidence in themselves and coming together and cheering on patriotism. Check out this video of a man singing, "I'm proud to be an American" at Chick-fil-A.
There's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died and gave their right to me, and I proudly stand up next to you and defend her still today. For there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Entire crowd there at Chick-fil-A cheers him on as he does a beautiful rendition of "I'm Proud to Be an American." That is the state of America right now. That is the state of patriots, confidence, patriotism, just loving one another, all being a part of this great American revolution. That's where we're at right now. Now, let's take a look at where the other side is at right now. Let's take a look at Whoopi Goldberg going psycho. After she claims to not have Trump derangement syndrome, she then breaks down and loses it and exhibits her Trump derangement syndrome.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of, I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation about this country. Listen. I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate.
It's you.
I've never seen anybody be so dismissive.
It's you.
And clearly you don't watch the show, so you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out
how
to fix this. That's my issue, but one of the things that you talk
about.
Notice
how Judge Jeanine is just smiling and letting her embarrass herself.
Is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave.
I didn't actually ask you a question.
You had your opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
Yeah, exactly. No. You started with a fake statement. Let me respond to that and correct the record.
Be here, end up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible?
When the president of the United States whips up people to beat the hell out of people.
That's you, Whoopi. That's happening to Trump supporters. And so they cancel the segment. Whoopi Goldberg whoops up her cards. She walks off the set in another segment. She ends up cursing Judge Jeanine out. There's a whole story. It's all on InfoWars.com. But so this is the state of the left. They have a protest yesterday outside Maxine Waters' office. They're burning the American flag. They're burning the American flag, ladies and gentlemen. So patriots are singing "Proud to be American." The left is burning the American flag. Whoopi Goldberg says that Trump is whooping up people to get violent. No, Whoopi, that's you. A 17-year-old Trump supporter, Ashton Hess, was assaulted in Seattle yesterday by a non-binary with green hair. Spit on his hat, ripped his hat off, spit on his hat, told him he's not welcome here. That's you, Whoopi. That's Maxine Waters. So they're burning flags. They're assaulting people. Meanwhile, patriots are like, yeah, proud to be an American, baby. We're kicking ass here. So the left, full-on Trump derangement syndrome. The right, full-on patriotism. Victory.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Trump derangement syndrome has reached new peaks. Ladies and gentlemen, it has even hit the likes of Google. Alex Jones breaks it down.
Google has done it again. Google is using its worldwide monopoly power of 93% of all searches to engage in fraud. Worldwide searches for the term idiot return the top results for Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States. Remember just a month ago, ahead of primary elections in California, the top search term for Republican candidates was Nazi. And Google officially, at the top of their page, under politics, had a voter guide section that said the ideology of Republicans is Nazism. And it goes on and on from there. President Trump is essentially shadow banned on Twitter right now, as are almost all other conservatives or nationalists, where you have to go directly to his page or be directly following him to get his alerts. Meanwhile, the left is calling for violence, attacking people on a daily basis for wearing Make America Great Again hats. We're seeing all these calls to kill the president. This is a soft civil war taking place by multinational corporations and communist China that now owns Hollywood, that is pumping out nothing but pure anti-American, anti-free market, anti-Trump, anti-InfoWars garbage. The president must move for antitrust hearings against Google, Facebook, Twitter, and others. We as a people must not let the internet infrastructure we built be hijacked by world government backed up by communist China. Think about how arrogant they are to have the executives of Google, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, its subsidiary, in Congress on Tuesday, claiming that they don't censor anybody unless they call for violence. It's total garbage. Myself, Paul Watson, Ben Shapiro now starting to be censored. You know, at first he was all for me being censored, but now, you know, he's freaking out. Ladies and gentlemen, they're going after everybody. They're making their move. We're only a couple months out from the midterms. This is a big campaign issue. Trump needs to make it a big campaign issue instead of being flat-footed, because the Congress is sitting on its butt. You watch these hearings, the Republicans get circles run around them by these executives that are lying under oath, and it's disgusting. We know what they're doing. There's a big Zero Hedge article on InfoWars.com that lays it all out. The tracker systems that can show you how you're shadow banned, what's happening. People need to get informed on this. They need to get aggressive. They need to take action. Google is a broken search engine. It was a big scandal when they protected Hillary Clinton back during the campaign and would put nothing but positive search results up for her and would bury stuff against her. And CNN gave her the questions ahead of time. But with all that rigging, they still failed. This time, the amount of censorship and rigging is 50 times what it was. I mean, it's a whole nother universe. And people need to take action because we've just gotten conditioned to accept this censorship as part of what they do. No, it's criminal. It's racketeering. It's discriminatory, and it's out of control. We have Google set up by the CIA on record in Qtel, a part of the infrastructure of this country, handed over to private companies who've made hundreds of billions of dollars off the American taxpayer that helped pay for it. And our infrastructure, Google is NSA infrastructure. And then now that deep state apparatus is being used in war against the people. It couldn't get more obvious. Call your congressmen and women. Call your state legislators. Take action. And all of us are stakeholders with what Google's doing to us. So if you're being discriminated against, sue them. Now is the time to take action. These arrogant technocrats think we're stupid. We're not. We're aware of what's going on, and we're taking action. Got a special message coming up later in the broadcast where I directly ask the president to take action. Please stay tuned for that and spread it. Spread it by hand. No one can stop you at point-blank range telling everybody you know about InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com the forbidden, verboten truth, what the enemy and the tyrants and the globalists fear. I'm Alex Jones. Again, everything is up to you. God bless you all.
You know, that's really incredible that Google would be so unmitigated in its total hatred for Trump that it would have idiots showing up in all the search results. There's the story on Zero Hedge, how the CIA made Google. But think about it like this. With 90% of the web traffic and web marketing going through Google, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, which is a subsidiary of Google, if they are colluding, or even if they're not intentionally colluding, but they all are on the same wavelength, it's kind of like if Alex says something and then I say something, but we never talk to each other. We just somehow said the same thing. You're on the same wavelength. You're saying the same things. You're channeling the same energy. So if they're all censoring the same people, if they all have the same sentiment towards Donald Trump, well, what do you think you're going to get? Well, you're going to search idiot on Google and you're going to get Donald Trump, who's the farthest thing from an idiot. In fact, he's made everyone in the government look like an idiot, if you want to be perfectly honest. He's made them all look foolish. Where now in Germany, you have another knife attack, at least 14 people wounded on a knife rampage by an Iranian. So you've got that going on. You've got this is incredible. Mike Cernovich has been all over this for like the last 24 hours. This Disney, I can't remember if it's a director or a producer, James Gunn. And Cernovich has been all over this guy. This is the most recent tweet. James Gunn deleted over 10,000 tweets and even took down his personal blog after pedophile content was found on it. The media is covering this up and I'm trying to make it blow over. Don't let them. Yeah, and he's not letting them. And this isn't the first person affiliated with Disney to have this kind of crap found out. You just had the one guy from Harvard who was running the organization, the foundation to help children. He turns out to be a pedophile. You have the mayor of de Blasio's top staffer, the next John Podesta of the Democrat Party. Boom, he goes down. He's a pedophile. I mean, what the hell is going on here? You've got demon-dressed transsexuals reading to your children at your local library. What is this madness? And I'm just getting totally off base. But if they are in control of 90% of web trafficking, the people that do this kind of crap, these are the people that endorse and are happy with that kind of crap. These people are running the websites that get 90% of web traffic and web marketing. So now that's like if you imagined the whole world having a veil over its head, essentially. And only 10% of the world can you go and actually be free and have a free exchange of ideas. 90% of the world is algorithmed and controlled and manipulated and masked. And there's a 10% pocket out there that you can hope to get to. That pocket is InfoWars. That pocket is Drudge. That pocket is Breitbart. That pocket is all the other smaller outlets out there that are putting out great news. So it's all about control. Now, here at InfoWars, we're not under control. We sell great products. And, you know, I was thinking about this. We always talk about how we need your help. That's why we have these sales. That's why we have InfoWars.com, store.com. And it's true. But it's almost not even fair to plug that way because the products are actually incredible. So it's like we're not even talking about how great the products are. Instead, we're like, hey, we're under attack. They're suing us. They're trying to shut us down. All networks saying, you know, we're conspiracy theorists, Holocaust deniers now. That's the new one. Totally bull. They never can play a clip. But it's like instead of saying that, oh, help us, you know, we're under attack. Really, it's we have incredible products at InfoWarsStore.com where I even had, let's say, a cut or an abrasion on my index finger on my right hand. And last night, for the first time, I used the Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel right here. Brand new at InfoWarsStore.com. I put it on a Band-Aid. I put it on my finger overnight. The redness is gone. The cut is gone. The inflammation all gone in one night with Super Silver. Incredible. Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel. Again, just another great product that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. Introductory price 25% off. Try it for yourself, folks. It's a great product.
waging war on corruption. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Endangered species caged in fright, shot in cold blood.
So it is absolutely absurd for members of the left like Maxine Waters and Whoopi Goldberg, who are the ones inciting violence, driving people to absolute madness. And then with the liberal sexual indoctrination, you have 17-year-olds with green hair who claim to be non-binary. Whatever the hell that means. And so you've got already hundreds. And I'm sorry, I get on air and I get information overload. It's like, we need to go find that Breitbart story from 2 weeks ago that has documented the hundreds of cases of assault against Trump supporters that wear Trump hats. So you've got, you know, kids, young kids getting Coke poured on their heads and assaulted for wearing a Trump hat. Now you've got another high school student, Ashton Hess from O'Fallon, Illinois, real close to my hometown of St. Louis, bit of a kinship there. And he's out on vacation in Seattle wearing his Make America Great Again hat, where a non-binary with green hair, my goodness, that is the New World Order right there. That is the children of the New World Order right there. A non-binary that can't reproduce. Yeah, death. And so he rips off the hat, spits on it, throws it on the ground, and tells the young man he's not welcome in this city. Now, who said that? Maxine Waters. And then Whoopi Goldberg has the audacity to go on air and say, Judge Jeanine is leading people to violence. What an absolute fraud Whoopi Goldberg is. Says, I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, and then goes psycho. And we've got those clips. So let's go to the story from Paul Joseph Watson. Oh, and by the way, we will be joined by Ashton Hess, who was the victim here. I was speaking with him last night, and he's going to be joining us. He is on vacation, so kind of tough for him to get set up, but we're going to get him on. A green-haired leftist who describes his gender, Paul Joseph Watson, how dare you? This is a non-binary. A green-haired leftist who describes Xi's gender as non-binary assaulted a teen Trump supporter in Seattle by spitting on his MAGA hat. Video footage shows the student Ashton Hess walking through the streets of Seattle being verbally abused by several people, including a young woman who says, don't you know what it says? Oh, okay, so because I have a hat on, that gives you the right to assault me? And what does it say? What does the hat actually say? Make America great again. Imagine this. See, this just shows you how powerful the propaganda is. Imagine 5 years ago, you're wearing a hat that says make America great again. Okay, what's awesome? What's wrong with that? Who would think that's bad? If you're in America, that's great. It's like the video where I'm at a Trump protest here, and a bunch of other Trump derangement syndrome folks are walking around. These two girls are walking around, and I've got my InfoWars hat that says make America free again. And the girl says, don't you know that that hat has a hateful message? And I said, what message? And she says, make America free again. I said, who is that hateful of? She walks away crying. That's Trump derangement syndrome. You come into this as a neutral situation. Let's say an American has been in the Amazon rainforest for 3 years with ayahuasca. He doesn't know anything that's going on. He comes back knowing no context of what's going on politically, and he sees a Make America Great Again hat on. What do you think he's going to think? He's going to be like, Nazi racist bigot. Or he's going to be like, oh, Make America Great Again hat. No, that's kind of interesting. Cool. Hey, where'd you get that? That's the power of the media propaganda. That they can make you so triggered over a hat. That they can incite you to be so angry over a hat. That you go out and you beat inanimate objects like it's some kind of faux victory. Encouraging children to engage in this behavior. Yeah, screw Trump, you know. He's just making America great again. Screw Trump, he's just bringing the economy back. Screw Trump. Record jobs growth, record low unemployment. I don't want a job. I don't want prosperity. I don't want freedom. I don't want independence. I want a third world nation hellhole like we have in San Francisco, where the mayor goes out in the streets and says, this is the most feces I've ever seen in my life. That's what I want. I want a bunch of green-haired, non-binary ninnies, freak shows, walking around assaulting people. That's what I want. I want a world of people that are so deranged, that have no victory in their life, have no success, that they have to punch and kick and spit on inanimate objects just to get that feeling of victory, just to have those hormones fire off in their brain, just to get the endorphins out. They do nothing. They don't run. They don't exercise. They don't have friends. They don't have lovers. They have nothing. They don't like their families. They don't have a gender. They don't have an identity except hate. And so the only way they can get the high off life is through hatred that's been programmed into them, where you can only get that sensation of success and victory if you go out and you assault what you think is a Nazi, or you go kick a Confederate statue on the ground. That's Trump derangement syndrome. So Ashton Hess is going to be joining us. The green-haired non-binary can be quoted. In fact, is that video censored, guys? Let's go ahead and just roll it then. Let's listen to the clip. This is from Ashton Hess, who's going to be joining us later. A green-haired non-binary assaults him in the streets of Seattle.
Come on.
Do you see what it says?
Come on. Yes, I know what it says. Don't take my hat.
That's my property, dude. Come on.
Get the f*** out of this city.
That's really necessary. I didn't do anything to you. Real classy, bud. I might have that.
Spit all over it.
Oh, that's disgusting.
You can wash it.
When they go low, we go high. Disgusting. And these are the same people encouraging this that are telling you Trump is disgraceful. These are the same people like Whoopi Goldberg saying Judge Jeanine is encouraging violence as Whoopi Goldberg's drug addict minions go out and assault people wearing Trump hats, go out and punch inanimate objects to get a sensation of victory. Like, I mean, you know, you could go like join a gym and actually learn how to fight, and then maybe actually get into a real scuffle at the gym. I'm saying a real competition, and then have success. That's real earned victory. This is fake faux victory. See, that's why they'll never, ever feel accomplished. This is why they cannot stop. This is why this has been going on for 2 years, because there's no real victory here. There's no real closure. It's just insanity. And it is now referred to as Trump derangement syndrome. So I actually think that this is perfect timing for Whoopi Goldberg to say, oh, I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, and then exhibit the Trump derangement syndrome that she has live on air, freaking out and then cursing at Judge Jeanine, who is just a classy lady the entire time. And then you have a green-haired non-binary assault a Trump supporter, 17-year-old Trump supporter, for wearing a MAGA hat, spit on the hat, say he's not welcome here. So perfect timing for the left to really give a lot of momentum to that blue wave. Oh, yeah, you're really helping yourself with the blue wave. No, it's dead.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news, today and now. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
You know, I found myself asking a question following the Democrats right now and their street protesters, which are out in the streets every day protesting ICE for the separation of children. Well, what is ICE? Immigration Customs Enforcement. What does ICE actually do? Well, mostly they stop drugs and paraphernalia from coming into this country, and gang members and child trafficking. That's what they do the most of. In fact, they have a whole child trafficking division of ICE that has saved thousands of kids. And so I'm looking into this, and you see the leftist street mobs protesting ICE for separating children. They don't do that. That's not ICE. ICE doesn't separate the kids. So here's the thing. So think about this. This just shows you how loony they are right now. People show up at the border. If it's children unaccompanied, if it's children with adults, if it's children with parents, whatever the situation is, adults go to the Department of Homeland Security to be vetted. Children go to the Department of Health and Human Services to be vetted. This has been policy for decades. That's where the separation happens. How does that equal ICE? Well, it doesn't. Now, here's the trick, though. The Democrats know that. The Democrats running this know that ICE is not the one separating the kids. It's the law that adults go to DHS, kids go to HHS, and then if we can, we try to separate them after the vetting process. That's what's been going on for decades. But so why, and the Democrats know this, why are the Democrats protesting ICE? We understand why the street mobs, the hate mobs, the leftist hate mobs, we know why they protest ICE. They're clueless. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're brainwashed sheeple. So they just do whatever they're told to do. Oh, yeah, ICE bad. Occupy ICE. Why are you occupying ICE? They're separating kids at the border. No, they're not. That's DHS and HHS. Shut up, racist. Great conversation. That's how that goes. But the Democrats know that ICE has nothing to do with it. So why are the Democrats calling for ICE shutdown? Seriously, I'm just asking the question. ICE keeps criminals and drugs and paraphernalia and child trafficking from stopping. That's what ICE does the most. So why are the Democrats trying to stop that? Just trying to figure it out. That's all. You know, there's a story going around right now. It's on Infowars.com. It's on Daily Caller. It's a bunch of different places. Trump has been set up, framed, and persecuted by the intelligence community. Of course, Chuck Schumer admitted that on MSNBC. Phil Mudd admitted it. They all admit it. And then you're crazy if you report on it. But here's the thing. Trump knows that. Okay? He knows what's going on. And he's got them by the short hairs, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It is my honor now to be joined by Norris Sweden. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He is the owner of the Warrior One Guns and Ammo store that Sacha Baron Cohen tried to troll just a bit ago. And of course, he caught them. Norris, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Well, you've pretty much gone viral because you called out Sacha Baron Cohen. And I guess you're the first one to ever catch him. This is a guy who's been doing this type of comedy skits and routines for a long time, and he always gets away with it. Are you the first person to actually catch and stop Sacha Baron Cohen in the act?
I guess so. It's probably the first I heard of that. So, yeah, that's good then.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what exactly goes on here. So he thinks he's going to make you look like an idiot in some way, shape, or form, whatever his agenda is. And you guys, based on other interviews, you all were kind of suspicious at the beginning, and then you said once he faked his Hungarian accent, that's when you knew it was an act.
Yeah, because they called us and said, listen, the producers called. They said, we'd love to come in there and document a Hungarian immigrant buying a gun. Hey, listen, this is America. We love selling guns. Come on in. So they come in, they set up, he comes walking in, and let me tell you, you can see it on the camera. I'm standing there in the corner. As soon as he turns that corner and I see how he's dressed and how he looks, I'm like, okay, there's no way this is real.
Now, this is the angle that I haven't heard anyone else say, and correct me if I'm wrong, because the whole report seems to be Sacha Baron Cohen is, you know, he's a jerk, he's a clown, how dare he, you know, he's fooling politicians, pretending to be a wounded warrior. Yeah, that's classless. But again, this is the kind of stuff the guy's been doing, faking like he's singing a national anthem. So he's always kind of done this. You're the first person, at least to anyone's knowledge that I know, to ever stop him. So this is my angle. He tries to make the gun store owners and the gun store look like a bunch of idiots. That's how they wanted to play this. Guess what? They were the smartest people he ever dealt with. So congratulations for proving to America that gun owners and Second Amendment activists are not a bunch of redneck hillbilly idiots. They're actually some of the smartest and most aware people on earth. So I salute you. Thank you for doing that for America.
You know, and I appreciate that. And you know what? And that's what the message I'm trying to give back is I'm trying to tell people, listen, Second Amendment is no different. People that love guns, I love cars, I collect cars. People that go and buy comic books and collect comic books like at Comic-Con, there's no difference. The problem is there's so much misinterpretation because nobody's willing to talk to the people that are behind the line. Listen, I've ran a gun store for over 10 years. This stuff is my life. It's my passion. I know it, okay? I know what works, and I know what doesn't work. So listen, you know, whatever his name is Borat to me. Stick to your dumb comedy because that's what you're good at. So the part we're upset is where Showtime starts to make guns try to look like toys by sticking stuffed animals on them.
Yeah, and again, this is to make a whole joke of, you know, gun owners, Second Amendment activists. Like, they want to make this whole joke and make this image of people like you and just people that love the Second Amendment, gun supporters. Like, oh, you're clowns. You're ignorant. You think this is a toy. We'll send Borat in there. He'll make you look stupid. He'll really show you what's up. And then, no, what happened is you showed him what's up and that this false image and narrative that people have about gun owners and gun store owners is just entirely wrong.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They did get their point across with that moron they put on the TV holding it with the bunny. But see, those guys are outdated. Those people that they fooled are outdated. Those lawmakers that they fooled and they basically made them look stupid, it's because they're passing laws, they're getting their votes, they're getting their butts in the seat, and then they forget about everybody else.
What has the response been like from other gun store owners? I would imagine that a lot of gun store owners are reaching out to you saying thank you.
I haven't heard any, there's maybe one or two gun store owners from other states, but the amount of phone calls, I'm getting probably 300 to 400 phone calls a day, emails, 150 to 200 a day of people just saying thank you. You know what, Norris? They go, the way you're representing the Second Amendment, but you're also saying that, listen, I welcome the negative side of the Second Amendment. If you want to come talk to me and have a nice conversation and talk about this, I'm open to it. I've already challenged the politicians. I said, listen, call me, because the laws you're passing are not the right laws. They don't work in California. They don't, you know? And I've told people, listen, I used to be a cop. Criminals don't come in and say, hey, Norris, listen, I'd like to buy a gun, and in 10 days, when I pick it up, I'm going to go commit a crime. That doesn't work.
Well, and I would imagine that not only the phone calls, but I would imagine business has probably picked up for you. I'm shocked more gun store owners haven't called and thank you, because he thought, I guarantee you, based on the way he was acting and how fake it was, he thought that you guys were probably lowest IQ. He thought that this would be real easy. Oh, yeah, I'll go in there and be a Hungarian immigrant dressed like some sort of clown situation. So that shows you how little they thought of you. And again, he ends up being the jackass.
Yeah, and listen, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. If you think you can fool me, come on in. I do this shit every single day. I talk to people every day. I get to know people's true intentions. So what makes you think you can walk into my store and I'm not going to spot your ass and understand exactly what you're trying to do? This is what I do every day. Show me somebody that does it better than a gun store owner. You know what I mean?
You know what? And that's very true. Again, gun store owners are that responsible, folks. He can spot a phony from a mile away. That's what it's all.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Norris Sweden is with me here for one more segment. He is the owner of Warrior One Guns and Ammo, very popular guns and ammo store out in California, where Sasha Baron Borat Cohen, Borat, Ali G. Borat, thought that he could troll the gun store, make gun owners and gun store owners look like fools. Oops, it turned out they outsmarted him easily, and he ended up looking like the fool. I did have a question for you about something you said in the last segment, but before I got to that, I was just curious, Norris, if there's anything you wanted to share with our audience about that experience of booting Borat from your store after he tried to fool you.
You know, I love doing that. I really did. And I'm glad that dude's outdated. His show's outdated. We just enjoy doing it. You know, if Showtime wants a show, We have a show for them. The funny thing is that we just got done shooting a pilot before they walked in a week ago.
Yeah, and you actually thought that's why they were targeting you.
Yeah, because we actually said, well, how, you know, yeah, we're popular, and what's the best place to pick is California, so maybe they got wind. We just got done shooting a pilot for our show Down the Barrel, and maybe that's why they targeted me.
Which looks pretty badass. I mean, I got to tell you, the preview you put out looks like it's pretty well produced.
Well, here's the thing. It is, because it's coming from a major network. But here's the thing, brother. It's about real people buying real guns for real reasons, from all demographics of life, like single moms. Why do they need a gun in the house? What's the correct way to have a gun in the house? So it's the real deal. It's not some moron putting a buddy on a gun and walking around and making everybody look dumb. Like I said, those people are outdated.
So is it kind of like Pawn Stars or something, but for a gun store?
It's better. It's better. It's not script. It's real. It's real decisions. It's going over real guns. That's the awesome thing about it.
Yeah, you know what? That really is powerful, and that may have been why they decided to target you guys. Because I saw the preview you guys put out. It's badass. It's clean. And now the way you lay out the show plan, I mean, that's going to be a successful show. There's no doubt about that. And the cool thing is, that's something people can relate to. You know what I'm saying? Because people can watch that and be like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Maybe I should get that weapon for home defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it will make you cry. It will make you laugh. The different demographics you deal with. Listen, I even talked to somebody who's anti-gun. Okay? That's what the show's about, too.
And so you're basically just filming this as people are coming in to tell their stories.
Absolutely. Why do you need a gun? Because, listen, you don't just come in and buy a gun and walk out. Listen, if we get a bad feeling about you, I'll kick your butt out of the store. We won't sell you a gun. I don't need your money. I do this because I love it, and I want people to be protected because I don't want them to be a victim. You don't want to buy a gun? Listen, I'll sell you a taser. I'll sell you a pepper spray. Don't buy a gun. Put an alarm on the house. At the end of the day, protect yourself and protect your family. That's really what I care about.
Well, and you proved that you're going to give a fair, you know, breakdown. You're going to say, okay, this individual looks deranged or this individual looks fake. I'm sorry, we're not taking it. That got caught. That went viral. And now you guys are going to be even bigger. And your show is going to be even bigger. Now, you said something in the last segment that I wanted to ask you about. You're a former cop. And a lot of people would be shocked by this. But as a former cop, would you say that you want more citizens to be armed?
You know, here's what I want. The best way to put it, I want the right citizens to be armed. Because let me explain to you why. Carrying a gun, a lot of people don't understand. It's a huge responsibility. It's not Hollywood. Bullets don't go where bullets are supposed to go. You have to be trained. You have to have the tactical awareness to understand when something's going to happen. You might have a gun. You might be with your family. You might not have the right opportunity, the right chance to take advantage of that tactical situation. So you would want the right people with the gun. Because listen, the most important thing is you got to protect yourself and your family. Okay, so even as a cop, when I carried a gun, I always checked my surroundings, make sure it's not paranoia, it's situational awareness and knowing when's the opportunity. So you want the right people with the gun.
All right, let's finish and let's go back to Borat here. Have you heard from Borat and his team since that you booted them from the store?
No. Even the day I booted him out, when I was confronting the producers, they weren't giving me any answers. All their answers were vague. And I got upset. And there's some stuff I said that was nasty to them. And I kicked them out of the store. Because don't come into my store. Don't play me. Don't mess around. My blood and sweat and tears are in this business. And if you're not going to answer what I'm asking, then you're going to get the bad side.
And once again, you are the perfect example of the type of gun store owners and the type of people that are Second Amendment activists. You're not going to be fooled. You're aware. You understand your environment. And if somebody's trying to play you, you're going to call them out on it. And then it's amazing. I can't believe they never even reached out and say, hey, sorry, or hey, can you leave us alone? I mean, that shows you really did just totally destroy them. They don't even want to think about this anymore.
Oh, and you know what? You're right. And you know what? You said the best word. I'm going to destroy this show that they're trying to do. You know what? Stick to your stupid comedy. don't put toys on guns. That's the part that bothers me the most. So I'm going to make sure this thing flops, and I've called out Showtime, and I'll call out Borat. I really don't care.
So they're here making a mockery of guns while you have Democrats basically calling for the Second Amendment to be revoked. I mean, it's the delusion of these people. A, it's un-American, but, you know, B, it's like, you know, if you're going to sit here and try to take gun violence seriously and stuff, why are you making jokes about it?
You know, the funny thing is, you just said the perfect word, gun violence. You know what I saw this morning? I saw the students in, talking to the mayor of L.A., you know, they're going against gun violence. And then I saw an astronaut, which I'm sorry that happened to his wife. Guess what, people? It's not gun violence. It's people violence, okay? Why is an astronaut trying to pitch for gun control? Listen, bud, stick to being an astronaut. I don't go talking about reverse thrusters, okay? Stick to what you know. Come and talk to the people that know the business. I know the business. Hey, politicians, look up Warrior One Guns and Ammo and call me. I will help you to get the correct laws that work, that don't hurt people in the Second Amendment, but hurt the criminals. Because the criminals are laughing. They're laughing because they're like, listen, everything they're passing is not hurting the Second Amendment. I mean, it is hurting the Second Amendment. It's not hurting them. It's hurting us.
Well, exactly. It's hurting law-abiding citizens, exactly. People that actually follow their laws. And it's incredible when you have a story like Kate Steinle's murder where that criminal was able to get a gun. He shouldn't even have been in the country, but he's able to get a gun, shoot an American citizen dead, and yet no calls for the gun control after that, just calls for, oh, don't be mean to the poor illegal immigrant.
You know, and I'm telling you, criminals get guns. They get them. I used to be a cop. They don't get them from a store. They just don't. It doesn't work like that. And that's what's upsetting is that you have people pushing for gun control, but listen, you don't know anything about guns. You don't know what it takes to sell a gun. You don't. Talk to me. Talk to the employees. You'll see what they go through. And let me tell you, DOJ in California does a phenomenal job. Every time I call DOJ, I get an answer. They help me, and they're overwhelmed. You know what I mean? So I talk to DOJ all the time. Like, guys, hey, this doesn't make sense. They're like, Norris, we just can't keep up. We can't keep up with the laws that are being passed, you know?
Being in the industry and out there in California where you have a bunch of anti-gunners in Congress out there in your representation, what would you say the dichotomy is between the people? Are they kind of going more pro-Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment versus the Democrats in Congress that are going against the Second Amendment?
You know, it's both ways, man. It's both ways. You got the people that are all for all the Second Amendment, and you got people that are completely Second Amendment. But there's a gap. That gap is there's misinterpretation on both sides. And, you know, I stayed out of this for a long time until this happened, and now I'm in it. And I need to find a way to close that gap. It's going to be hard. It really is. But let me ask you something. When somebody drinks and drives, who gets in trouble? Do they go after the alcohol? Do they go after the car manufacturer? No, it's that person that's responsible that drank and got behind the wheel. So why is it every time gun violence happens, it's the gun? Because it's coming from the other side that are just screaming gun control because they don't have the knowledge of they don't know everything. They don't know the rules. They don't know the laws because the Democrats, like you said, are passing laws that don't make any sense.
And it's a political agenda. And I think that example you just gave proves that it's a political agenda. Norris Sweden, thank you so much for joining us today. Great, great job kicking that fraud out of your store. Warrior One, Guns and Ammo, we salute you.
Tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troia.
All right, the new Trump attack. You know what? I'm not even going to go down it. Just more fake news trying to smear Trump. But let's go to a couple videos here. Let's first go to Rand Paul calling out the Trump derangement syndrome coming to the Senate, guys. Let's roll clip 9.
Trump derangement syndrome has officially come to the Senate. The hatred for the president is so intense that partisans would rather risk war than give diplomacy a chance. Does anybody remember that Ronald Reagan sat down with Gorbachev and we lessened the nuclear tensions? We need to still have those openings. Nobody is saying or excusing Russia's meddling in our elections. Absolutely. We should protect the integrity of our elections. But simply bringing the hatred of the president to the Senate floor in order to say, we're done with diplomacy, we're going to add more sanctions and more sanctions. You know what? I would rather that we still have open channels of discussion with the Russians. Kennedy, at the height of the Cold War, had a direct line to Khrushchev, and it may have prevented the end of the world. Should we be so crazy about partisanship that we now say, we don't want to talk to the Russians, we're not going to have relations with the Russians? We should stand firm and say, stay the hell out of our elections, but we should not stick our head in the ground and say, we're not going to talk to them. I would like to see the Russians leave Ukraine. I think we could do it through diplomacy. We're not going to have it if we don't talk to them. I would like to see the Russians help more with North Korea, with denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. We're not going to have it if we just simply heap more sanctions on and say we're not going to talk to the Russians, and anybody that talks to the Russians has committed treason. For goodness sakes, we have the former head of the CIA, John Brennan, gallivanting across TV, now being paid for his opinion, to call the president treasonous. This has got to stop. This is crazy hatred of the president. This is crazy partisanship that is driving this. For goodness sakes, we don't excuse Russia's behavior in our election, but we don't have to have war. We can
so
still
So is Rand Paul the last sane man in Congress here trying to talk the left down? And because of the lies of the left and even Eric Swalwell going on Tucker Carlson, unbelievable segment that was, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night. Swalwell goes on Carlson, calls Donald Trump treasonous 10 times. Carlson says, what did he do that's treasonous? What did he do? He has nothing. He just says treason, treason, treason. What treason? Treason. And this is what happens now. Masked leftists fling feces at pro-Trump cafe.
Anger in the streets when a kosher cafe opens in Boyle Heights. Neighbors want it shut down. The LAPD kept protesters back as demonstrators shouted at people at the grand opening.
And they're not just angry over gentrification. It's the owners' views that also have them riled up. Mm-hmm. KCAL9's Dave Lopez is live in Boyle Heights with details on the controversy. Dave?
Well, standing in front of this cafe, the man who owns this is an immigrant. He has a number of companies, very successful businessman. Of his 70 employees, he told me that nearly all of them are immigrants.
Wow.
He also said he supports Trump and his immigration policies. And because he posted that, well, that's where all the problems started.
So what's the connection? This is what I don't understand. I'm confused. The connection between Donald Trump and a good coffee.
30 years ago, Asher Shalom immigrated from his native Israel to the United States. He told me he cried like a baby when he became a U.S. citizen. And he also said he supports Donald Trump and his immigration policies. And he can't understand why that's so wrong.
Everything changed in one day.
He was all set for a grand opening of his new kosher cafe in Boyle Heights, not far from downtown Los Angeles. The Boyle Heights Chamber of Commerce had invited him to be a member. They were going to be there to help celebrate.
So there you go.
Then he got this email from the
chief. So you can't. I mean, there's an immigrant, pro-Trump, likes Trump. This is what I'm saying. The left is so deranged and out of control and ignorant. They don't even understand what they're dealing with. But to the cafe owner that doesn't understand what's going on, these are mentally deranged people. They have Trump derangement syndrome. They're mentally deranged. Don't look for logic and reason with these people. Just understand they're filled with hate and rage and ignorance. It's Trump derangement syndrome.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
This is an emergency message to the President of the United States, the American people, and the people of the world. Mr. President, I know that you're fully aware that the big tech giants, Apple, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and others, are 100% diametrically opposed to free market capitalism, and they hate America. They have a arrogant elitism. They are allied with communist China. Apple has moved to communist China and given the code keys to the government officially. China even controls people trying to send Taiwan flag emojis. That is the total level of control that we're witnessing. And now, myself and many others have forced this issue of censorship out into the open with your help. And the spokespersons and heads of these companies have testified to Congress multiple times the last few months and completely and totally lied to everyone. Just on Tuesday, they had hearings in the Judiciary Committee where they misrepresented what I and others talk about and then called for us to be completely banned off of those platforms preemptively, and it became a big national news story. The executives went on to say that they only restrict violent or hateful posts that violate their terms. But then, of course, people began to actually go and look at their tweets and found that they are being shadow banned at record levels. There's an article at ZeroHedge.com. It's posted in full at Infowars.com. I'm going to read from it in a moment. Twitter caught censoring conservative journalists with site-wide shadow bans. That's July 20th, 2018. Before I get to that, though, here's the bottom line up front. No one is being censored like Donald John Trump, 45th president of the United States. No one is being censored like you, Mr. President. And anyone who has a Twitter account who follows you knows that 90 plus percent of your tweets never make it through to them. You have to go to the actual Twitter page, your Twitter page, really their Twitter page. You have to read them there. You have to then go into the settings and change the settings so that the quality filter is turned off to be able to get your tweets. Now, that's just one way they're doing this to you, sir. And when I go and turn that filter off, every few days, they go in with an autocorrect, in their words, and turn it back on. And that's just one way they're doing it. And so the only way to stop this ahead of the midterm elections and to stop them from violating our free speech and bringing their level of bullying and intimidation to the next level against the American people trying to struggle free from their control is for you, with your bully pulpit, second to none, to bring all of this information out, to consult with your tech experts, like your campaign 2020 head, who's an expert, to put a report together, and then to bring that report to the American people. We've written a report with Mike Adams at Infowars.com that I know has been sent to the White House and sent to the campaign and sent to members of Congress. It's called the Adams Report. It deals with the covert censorship operation, how to expose it, and then how to reverse it, and how to defeat it. But without you doing that, this is just going to intensify. Europe has basically completely censored nationalist conservatives, people that are into free market. It's an iron curtain of control that we didn't even see during the old Soviet days. This is massive. And again, only you can devastate this with 100% chance of victory. It's very hard for all of us laboring under this to be able to expose it. When these tech heads get before Congress and lie and lie and lie, you talk about very fake news. This is extreme fraud because they know it violates people's rights in mass, people's civil rights and human rights in mass. They know it's a form of racketeering. They know that it's an electronic gulag, as Matt Drudge has called it. And they know that they're trying to kick the NRA out of commerce, your supporters out of banking. I mean, this is a real purge going on, and we need you to stand up for yourself. The First Amendment for right to the market, right to commerce, and for the American people. So here's the article out of Zero Hedge up on Infowars.com. I'll read part of it. Twitter caught censoring conservative journalists with site-wide shadow bans, which prevent anyone not already following them from viewing their post. 2 days after Twitter told Congress that they aren't politically biased when censoring content, several prominent conservatives discovered that the social media giant automatically includes them in a site-wide quality filter discrimination shadow ban, which prevents anyone not already following them from viewing their posts. Notice it has the word discrimination. They admit they're discriminating against us. While the filters have been around since 2016 and were supercharged in May ahead of the elections, Twitter aggressive censorship of conservative accounts was noticed Thursday afternoon by Daily Wire's Ryan Savadera. Oh, notice the Daily Wire's been very happy for me to get censored, but now they don't like it. Good. I'm glad they're starting to wake up. After he said he saw reduced activity following a viral tweet with 3.85 million views in which Democrat Representative Maxine Waters calls for attacks on members of the Trump administration. In short, a flood of influential conservative Twitter users discovered they were shadow banned, also using an account checking tool at shadowban.eu. And then it goes through screenshots and all the proof and all the example for 5 pages. Continuing, Twitter VP of Trust and Safety. Oh, wow. Sounds like the little white van driving around the neighborhood. Twitter VP of Trust and Safety, Del Harvey, said that the filtering algorithm looks at a number of signals, including how often a user is blocked, muted, or complained about versus receiving positive interactions such as favorites and retweets. So they create an algorithm where their people complain on you and they shadow ban and block you, and then they further shadow ban you. If you send the same messages to 4 people and 2 of them blocked you and 1 reported you, we could assume without ever seeing that content of the message was that was generally a negative interaction. Yeah, if I try to send out something pro-Trump, most of the time it just goes into moderation and won't even let me post it. I mean, this is the level of what they've done to Paul Watson's Twitter, my Twitter. They're cheating. They can't help it that they want to steal the election. They want to muffle the American people. Asked whether the changes will mostly affect fake accounts, that's their cover, and bots or real people who are behaving in aggressive and divisive ways, Harvey said it would be either. It could be either. The software goal is to hide tweets from accounts that are having the maximum negative impact on the conversation. That means disagreeing with them, like you. When they call you a Russian agent or a traitor that needs to be killed, and then you say that's not true, well, they just ban that tweet or block it. Harvey also said in a company blog post that the impact of the filters could affect much less than 1% of accounts. That is total, absolute horse manure. Every major libertarian or conservative who's going and looking at their accounts now notices that they've been dialed back their reach, and then a lot of their tweets get completely shadow banned. And that's the bottom line. And then it just goes through all of this. Now, here's how you can mitigate it, but they'll just keep flipping it back on. To turn the default quality filtering off, go to your Twitter settings and unclick the quality filter box. We wonder who Jack Dorsey thinks he is, having a maximum, quote, negative impact on the conversation. Right ahead of the midterms, right on time. Again, it is the quality filter applied to your account. Find out in the shadowban.eu, then go there to speak freely again. We are starting the national debate about this. We're forcing the issue out there. But to turbocharge this and ensure victory for the First Amendment and for the elections to make America great again, we need you and your experts and your allies in Congress to spearhead this, because so far these hearings have been disgraceful and the tech heads have been leading the congressmen and women around by their noses, and it has been just pathetic and disgraceful and sad to watch these liars run circles around us trying to steal our republic and trying to steal the right of our discourse in this nation while being deceptive about it. Thank you, Mr. President. That is my report to you and your crew. Please take action. But as for the audience, you are the tip of the spear. Again, just get the word out on this. Get this article out from Infowars.com and Zero Hedge. And whatever you do, never give in, never give up, because we're so close to winning.
Defend the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation. It's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The left in America has become totally unhinged. And that's why you have hashtag walkaway trending on Twitter, and you have the hashtag walkaway fan site on YouTube with hundreds of people explaining why they're walking away. Really powerful stuff there, actually. And I'm looking to get Brandon Strock back on the Alex Jones Show next week. This whole Zuckerberg Holocaust denial comment seems to be doubling back, and it looks like they're going to try to use this to force Zuckerberg's hand to ban InfoWars, or that may have been the plan to begin with, because now he's walking it back, and they keep saying we're conspiracy theorists, we have to be shut down. Then, though, ABC News is going to put the fake news out. Street Fighters and Militia, understanding the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. The Oath Keepers, that's ridiculous to even claim that about them. And then the Proud Boys just go out. They're the ones that get attacked, and they just happen to be bigger and stronger than the little Antifa wusses, and they just pound them into the ground. But this is what they're doing. So Megan Keneally writes this fake headline trying to tell you that Oath Keepers and Proud Boys are racist street fighters. And so racist street fighters and anti-government militia, understanding the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, totally fake, totally false. And then they try to lump InfoWars in with Holocaust deniers so that Facebook, Twitter, YouTube ban us. And so that's what they're doing. But they have this whole Trump derangement syndrome going on where they're all acting totally unhinged. For example, Whoopi Goldberg, need to come up with a new nickname for her, Whoopi Gold Turd, Floppy Gold Turd. You come up with the name, just totally unhinged. She goes on her show, The View, says that she doesn't have Trump derangement syndrome and then exhibits Trump derangement syndrome to Judge Jeanine. Let's watch that clip.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of, I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation about this country. Listen, I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody.
No, that's you, Whoopi. You're the one whipping up hatred. And Judge Jeanine just sits there classy, smiling like, yeah, embarrass yourself.
So you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this. That's my issue. But one of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave
your
opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
I'm sorry, you know that's what you said. You said,
Whoopi, you know
you
what's
said
horrible
that
when
it was,
people
it's
who shouldn't
okay
be here end
it's
up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's
when,
horrible
when the president
is
of the United States whips up
cities
people to beat the hell out of people.
No.
Say goodbye.
Let me go.
So there's Whoopi Goldberg going totally insane. She ends up walking off the set, ripping her cards up. And really, it's just it's this fake. This is this fake Hollywood television thing. Like Whoopi Goldberg is anybody because she was in a couple famous movies and might have been a funny actor at one time. Beneath the surface of that, Whoopi Goldberg, you can tell, is a very low IQ, deranged individual, unfortunately. And she exhibits that perfectly in that segment. But it gets worse. After she stormed off the set during her deranged tirade, she confronted Judge Jeanine Pirro, which she recounts on the Sean Hannity radio show yesterday. Listen to this.
On what happened was I realized the segment was over. I got up and I just started. I left the stage going downstairs and I saw her and I had to walk by her. And I said, Whoopi, I fought for victims my whole life, something like that. And she started cursing at me.
What did she say? Tell everybody what she said without saying it.
She said,
blank you.
F you. F you. And I said, Whoopi, did you just say F you? I mean, she was right here. And then she said, get the F out of this building. And she yelled at me again, get the F out of this building. And I felt like I was less than dirt. I couldn't believe that I went there to have a conversation. I got thrown off the set, thrown out of the building. And as I walked away, She's yelling at me, get the F out of this building. Sean, it's sad. What these people have turned into is sad. What is happening?
It really is. And it's Trump derangement syndrome that leads people like Whoopi Goldberg to lose her mind, that leads masked leftists in California to fling feces at an immigrant's cafe. An immigrant opens a cafe in Los Angeles, masked leftists show up and fling feces at it. You have them burning a flag at a Maxine Waters rally. You have a non-binary, green-haired, Trump-hating liberal in Seattle rip a 17-year-old's MAGA hat off, spit on it, throw it to the ground, and then tell him he's not welcome here. Get the F out of this city. So this is the deranged left. This is the left going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. They keep going lower. It's like a competition to see how low they can actually go. And this may be the lowest, at least in terms of laughability. Liberals send female Senate Democrats pee-proof underwear to oppose Trump's SCOTUS pick. They're now sending Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Dianne Feinstein, Depends, essentially adult underwear, so they can go stand outside and urinate on themselves, crap on themselves, and anything else on themselves to protest the Supreme Court justice pick. Do you realize how insane the left has become? You cannot make that up. Liberals are sending Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren adult diapers so that they can go protest the Supreme Court justice pick. And if they have to use the bathroom, they'll just do it in their pants. Wow. These are the people that are trying to stop Trump. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at InfoWarsStore.com, which is what makes all of this possible here at InfoWars, all the live programming, all the special reports, the extended broadcast, we have the Defeat the Democrat Censorship Sale. Right now, 67% off some top-selling products and 50% off top-selling products like Alpha Power, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, BioTrue Selenium, Brain Force Plus, Super Male and Super Female Vitality, DNA Force Plus, Super Blue Fluoride-Free Toothpaste. It's all 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. If you were listening earlier, we have a new product, Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel, that I just used for the first time last night. I had a cut that was bothering me on my finger. It I don't know if it was infected or something, but became really red and inflamed. So I put a dab of the Super Silver Wound Dressing on a Band-Aid, and I just slept with it overnight, about 7 hours. Totally gone. Inflammation totally gone. The pain totally gone. So another product from InfoWarsStore.com that just works great. Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel. 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out all the great supplements, folks. Water filters, air filters, things you need.
Watch me! Watch me!
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Hey! And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got
so, the biggest turd, or one of the biggest turds, in the Democrat toilet, Chuck Schumer, tweets this out. Until we know what happened at that two-hour meeting in Helsinki, Donald Trump should have no more one-on-one interactions with Putin in the United States, in Russia, or anywhere else. Well, I got news for you, dirtbag. You're not the boss. In fact, you're not even in the majority in Congress. So you have no say in this. But what's the story behind the story? Which is that Chuck Schumer says that he declares that Trump and Putin should not meet one-on-one, as if Chuck Schumer is in charge. No, Chuck, no. Sorry, Donald Trump's the president. You're the leader of the minority losing party that's going down. You're killing your own party. So what the story behind the story here is that The deep state and the corrupt Democrats are truly panicked over private conversations between Trump and Putin. You have to really think about that. Chuck Schumer, honestly, he's so freaked out by whatever it is that Donald Trump has on him. He needs to know everything Trump is saying with Putin. He has to know because he's that scared of his own criminal activity being exposed, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this is. Why else does Chuck Schumer have to have an ear in the Putin-Trump summit? Why does Chuck Schumer have to have an ear when Putin and Trump are talking? Because he's scared to death about what they might be talking about, folks. That's what this is. Chuck Schumer, you're not a dictator. You're not an autocrat. You have no say over this. You're a dirtbag Democrat who's scared to death that two alpha males are actually teaming up to make the world great again and to make America great again and to make Russia great again. And you can't stand it. And you're scared senseless because you don't control Trump. He's not in your secret shadow government. And so you're scared, you know what-less, and you want to know everything Trump does all the time because he has you that scared, Chuck Schumer. So Lee Stranahan is my guest, citizenjournalismschool.com, populist.tv. Lee, before I get into some of the news with Bill Browder and with the kind of developments in the Skripal case, if you want to call it that, where you were boots on the ground actually when there was a development in that, what do you make of Chuck Schumer demanding that Trump never meet one-on-one with Putin without him knowing everything that's said? What do you make of Chuck Schumer claiming that?
Well, you nailed it, Owen. I mean, it is fear, but I got to say, it goes beyond Schumer, and guys like John McCain are every bit as afraid of Chuck Schumer. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day whether you get a D or an R after your name with some of these people. About the only person I think acting sanely right now is, and it's no shock, is Rand Paul. Nearly every other senator I've seen, and let's just talk about the senators, has just lost it completely.
And it really is incredible to see this happening to our Congress. Honestly, I mean, that's what should have Americans worried, not what Trump and Putin are doing. It's what our own congressmen are doing, like Eric Swalwell. It's really incredible stuff. But Lee, let's talk about Bill Browder. Now, Bill Browder is a name that the average American has never heard of. In fact, even people who are well-informed probably have never heard of Bill Browder. You've reported on Bill Browder in the past. Russian media reports on Bill Browder all the time. But this is a guy who's always kind of stayed behind the shadows as far as American media is concerned. But then all of a sudden, last week and still up to today, he's doing it this week too. So the last 2 weeks, Bill Browder is doing multiple television interviews every day. He's all over TV, all over the media. He's going everywhere telling everyone how bad Trump and Putin is. Why? Bill Browder was unheard of until recently. And then what happens? Putin mentions Browder's name at the summit, and then it all clicks. So Bill Browder is feeling the heat. He's already wanted in Russia. Why is Bill Browder a name that Americans need to know?
Well, Bill Browder is the guy behind what I would call the Russia phobia, the anti-Russian sentiment. And it's ironic because, first off, Bill Browder's grandfather was Earl Browder, the communist who was a spy for Stalin. And this when I say he was the communist, I mean, he was literally the leader of the Communist Party in the United States. He ran for president a couple of times as a communist and lived in Russia. And as I say, not only spied for Stalin, but recruited spies for Stalin. This came out in books after letters came out from inside the Stalin regime in Russia, and that was confirmed. So Bill Browder's, that's his grandfather, Earl Browder. His father, Felix Browder, famous genius mathematician who was at Princeton for a long time, got hired in part with the help of Eleanor Roosevelt, interestingly. Then Bill Browder became the biggest venture capitalist or vulture capitalist in Russia in the 1990s. After the fall of the Soviet Union, you got to remember, so, you know, communist Russia falls, and they have all these assets, like the oil company and the gas company and everything else that was held by the state. Bill Browder's the guy You know, most of us saw the fall of communism as an opportunity for freedom, right? But some people saw it as an opportunity to make money. And Browder's a guy who made millions and billions of dollars, over $4 billion for his clients by going in. And what they would do is they would buy up these vouchers that Russian citizens were given. And the Russian citizens didn't know what the value of the vouchers were. So they would buy them for pennies on the dollar. Then they'd have these secret auctions. And so companies were being bought up. Literally, you know, a company valued at $10 million could be bought for like $6,000 or something in some cases. This was literally happening. And Browder's a guy who made a ton of money. And he doesn't
so
like
just real quick in layman's terms, Bill Browder's going around screwing the Russian people, making hundreds of millions of dollars. Then he ends up screwing the Russian government because he doesn't pay his taxes.
But it's not just that he doesn't pay his taxes. He engages in schemes to avoid taxes. First off, he is not born in the United States. He renounced his U.S. citizenship. Now, you and I don't like taxes, but have you ever thought about renouncing your citizenship to avoid paying taxes? It doesn't occur to us, right? And this is a guy who literally renounced. He is no longer a U.S. citizen. But he actually has been in the media for some time, but he flies under the radar because he just goes up. You have never seen him ask a difficult question once ever. He testified in front of, we're going on 1 year ago, almost to the day, he testified in front of Congress, in front of the Senate. And every single senator, and I mean people from Dianne Feinstein to people like Chuck Grassley, every one of them just deferred to this guy. No one brought up the fact that he renounced his U.S. citizenship, his grandfather was a spy for Stalin. No one brought anything up negative at all. But the most important thing isn't even that. The most important thing is his entire story is a lie about what's called the Magnitsky Act. This is a law he got passed in 2012. Now, first off, I don't understand how somebody who's renounced their citizenship has so much political clout. Oh, wait, I do. It's that $400,000 in illegal campaign contributions that Putin accused him of. Putin misspoke and said 400 million. He meant 400,000. And he's corrected that since then. But $400,000 in campaign contributions. This guy was a big Democrat donor, but he's smart. He knows how the media works. And he knows if he goes after Donald Trump directly and personally, he's going to get hammered by Trump. So
all right, let's come
radar.
Back. Let's come back on the other side of this break and get into that. Because, again, I monitor news media all day long. Bill Browder is doing like 5 TV interviews a day now. He went from 0 to 5. Why?
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
So we're joined by Lee Stranahan here from citizenjournalismschool.com. He's actually in Budapest, Hungary right now, working on some George Soros-related news, but we'll just let that sit out there while he works on that, because I want to get into a couple things here with Lee Stranahan. First, I want him to explain in detail his expertise and knowledge on the Magnitsky Act and the fake news that's out there about that, so he's going to break that down. Then I want to ask him why he thinks Browder is going so public on national media lately when he used to be non-existent there. But first, Lee Stranahan, explain to my audience exactly the history of the Magnitsky Act, what it is, how Bill Browder's involved, and the fake news out there about it.
Now, here's the big thing about this, Owen. People need to research this themselves. And we actually put together a page that people can go to on populist.tv of resources that are firsthand. You cannot trust any media on this right now. In fact, I got to say, Owen, one of the only sources that has let me talk about router has been InfoWars for the past close to a year now. This is literally one of the only outlets that let us do it. This resource page, if you just type in Bill Browder resources, you'll find it on populist.tv. This is testimony from Bill Browder himself, in his own words, including a sworn deposition he gave. Now, what is the Magnitsky Act? The Magnitsky Act is named after a guy named Sergei Magnitsky. If you listen to Bill Browder in his Senate testimony, he'll tell you that Bill Browder was making all this money in Russia. Then in 2005, he was not allowed back in the country. In 2007, his office was raided. And then he says, in sworn Senate testimony, that's when I hired the smartest Russian lawyer I knew, Sergei Magnitsky, to investigate. Okay, let's stop right there. That's a lie. In his sworn deposition from 2015, and I have 6 hours of video, so you can watch Browder say it, he admits that Sergei Magnitsky, A, was not a lawyer, never went to law school, never had a law degree, but also that he was working with Browder in 2002. Now, why doesn't Browder say that? Why does he say this happened in 2007? That's because in 2002, Magnitsky, who was an accountant, not a lawyer, was working on these tax avoidance schemes where they would do things like in a region of Russia called Kalmykia. He would claim that he had veterans working for him to get a tax break. But there were no veterans working for him. The veterans never worked a day. They were just hired on paper to get a big tax break, millions of dollars in tax break. And he says all of this stuff. So anyway, Magnitsky eventually gets arrested. He dies in Russian prison of health-related problems, of a heart attack. And by the way, Browder had something to do with that, too. But that's another story. Browder was urging him, write complaint letters. Browder was scared to death when Magnitsky was in prison. So then what happens is, after Magnitsky dies, but only after he dies, Browder starts making Magnitsky a martyr, right? Now, here's the thing about the Magnitsky Act. The way Browder pitches it is it's a human rights law that holds people accountable for human rights violations. But let's just think about this from sort of a libertarian perspective, a rights perspective. If you look at the Magnitsky Act, which was promoted by John McCain, there's a video of him up on YouTube talking about it. Here's what it does, Owen. Think about this. Imagine, Owen, if a foreign government could seize your bank account and not let you travel. Imagine if Russia did this to you, right? Or any country, Great Britain, any country. They said, Owen, we're going to seize your bank account, and you can't travel here. And you'd be like, well, why are you doing that? And you say, well, you're on a list. Now, this is not like the UN, or this is not like some human rights commission. Literally, the Magnitsky Act list was people that Bill Browder picked. Literally, there was no commission that found them guilty of anything. They're not even, it's not even Putin. It's not even top people in Russia. Bill Browder put on the Magnitsky Act the police who were investigating his tax crimes. Now, why do you think he doesn't want them to come to America? Because if they came to America, they testify as to what he was actually doing.
All right, so let me try to crunch this out. So
it's amazing.
Bill Browder uses a fake lawyer, Magnitsky, to try to get this act passed through the 112th Congress that they claim is to stop human rights violations, but the meat of it is really to stop or to for them to be in control of travel between the United States and Russia so that Browder can't have a fair investigation on all the money laundering he's been doing. Am I accurately projecting this?
That's exactly right. So, for instance, literally on that Magnitsky Act list are a couple of Russian police officers who were investigating Browder. Now, these are police officers who were not even accused of any crime in Russia. Does that make sense? In other words,
Well, I think, you know, I think the most ridiculous part of this, honestly, Lee, is that you're talking about Bill Browder, a non-citizen at the time, working with Magnitsky, a non-lawyer at the time, and having people like McCain to get this stuff passed. It has no right, no reason ever to even come to Congress.
And yet, here's the thing about it, Owen. Not one congressman, not one senator has ever asked it. Now, when you see Browder in the media, you will never see him ask a tough question. And the reason why is that if he gets asked a tough question, he gets up and he walks out. In fact, he has had article after article censored. There's a guy named Alex Craner. He wrote a book about Browder. It was removed from Amazon. Now, this gets deeper, Owen. The guy who removed the book from Amazon was a lawyer named Jonathan Weiner. Weiner is intimately connected to the Steele dossier. Weiner is a top John Kerry aide. It's W-I-N-E-R. Jonathan Weiner, look
does
him
he,
up.
Does he have a connection to Fusion GPS or Perkins Coie?
No, here's the thing about Fusion GPS. That's weird. Glenn Simpson, who we know worked in the Steele dossier, also worked against Browder. And Browder uses, and so this is interesting. See, don't forget who Glenn Simpson is. He's a hired gun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he's the Fusion GPS, essentially, private eye, for lack of a better term. He's the Fusion GPS hacker, private eye, getting the details.
Yeah, but when he was working against Browder, he was doing good stuff. He did minor stuff against Browder. They were trying to serve Browder to subpoena him.
Well, and I think in fairness to Simpson, and I think even the Steele dossier case, he seems to be at least cooperating to some extent. In fairness to Simpson, he just takes whatever business comes across his desk, it seems like.
That's exactly right. And do you know who's helped really demonize? And this is what Browder's done. He's very smart. To people on the right, he demonizes Glenn Simpson. But Bill Browder is connected to that Steele dossier, too. Don't forget, he's no longer a U.S. citizen. Where is he a citizen? Great Britain. Right? I was just in London investigating Bill Browder, as well as the Salisbury thing.
Yeah, where you've got another weird poisoning incident. They're trying to link back to Putin when it's actually evidence it wasn't Putin, but that's another story.
That's another story, and it's amazing. And when I get back to the States, I got big stuff coming on that. But Bill Browder's office in London is about an 8-minute drive from the Steele dossier, Orbis, the company that did that work, Christopher Steele's company. It's right there. They're both in central London.
So it's like a London version of what David Brock is doing with Media Matters, where they're all centrally located, pretending they're not working together.
And here's the thing. Jonathan Weiner is the guy who brought the Steele dossier behind the scenes to John Kerry. And this is Bill Browder's top guy in Washington, D.C., and has been for over a decade.
Okay. Now, see, Lee, if you can, stick around for 5 more minutes. Now, see, this is actually interesting because my next question was going to be, why do you think Bill Browder is all of a sudden doing all these media appearances? And you just answered it. Because his fingerprints are all over that Steele dossier, which is about to blow up in the Democrats' hands, and they're going to be looking for someone to blame. They're going to be looking for someone to cast the blame on for this, and Bill Browder is the perfect one to blame because he's not a U.S. citizen, and he can stay over there in Great Britain and have Russia hate him, the United States hate him, but he's the perfect scapegoat. I think that may be the answer, but let's get Lee Stranahan's take on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer filling in. The deep state and all of its minions are panicked, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this means.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we've got 5 more minutes here with Lee Stranahan from CitizenJournalismSchool.com and PopulistTV.com. Lee, I want you to respond to the last segment, the conclusion there. It seems to me that the reason why Bill Browder is now doing 5 television interviews a day from zero is because he's panicked right now that whatever involvement he had with this Steele dossier, the fake Russian collusion dossier that's blowing up in the Democrats' hands, he's worried that this is going to end up scapegoating him because he's the perfect scapegoat. Why do you think Bill Browder is going on media five times a day all of a sudden?
Well, look, Browder's motivation is really easy to understand. He has been convicted of these tax crimes in Russia. He is convicted, period. And when you look at these, again, here's the thing about it. There's two things. Number one, he is connected to so many top anti-Trump people. Let me give you one example. I'll give you a couple, but here's one. He went and filed a lawsuit. He got the state of New York to file criminal charges in a case called the Prevezon case. That's what that Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, was working on. Browder went to Preet Bharara. Now, do you remember when Donald Trump, like every president, fired all the U.S. attorneys? Remember that? And it was a big controversy. But it's a non-controversy because every president.
Well, actually, didn't he actually fire the least amount?
Yeah, he did. I mean, but one of the guy who complained the most was this guy in New York, Preet Bharara, who hates Trump. Well, Bill Browder is close friends with Preet Bharara. Bill Browder has appeared on Bahara's podcast. Subsequently, they've done appearances together. Now, the reason he filed that suit was he's trying to drum up this fake controversy over the Magnitsky Act. So he files that. They try to subpoena Browder because he's the one who got the criminal charges brought. So Bill Browder, who does media appearances in the States all the time on Comedy Central, places like that, he ducks a subpoena. In fact, there's video, Owen, of Bill Browder literally in New York City running through a limo as they're trying to serve him papers and running through the streets. It's the most amazing thing. But
let's see if we can find that video. Let's see. But Lee, but hold on. I'm telling you, Lee, I'm telling you, I monitor television news and TV like a hound. And Browder has gone from an occasional.
He's all over
every day, nonstop. He's clearly panicked.
Well, especially where has he been? Fox News this past week. And here's why. If people on the right figure out, which is the Fox audience, right? If people on the right figure out that Bill Browder, who he is and what he's been up to, it's over for him. He needs to stay out of prison. That's his only goal. And so what he does is he goes on outlets that never ask him. If you go to YouTube and just type in Bill Browder interview, you'll find dozens and dozens of interviews. You won't find one of them to say, now, Bill, you said in sworn testimony, let's roll the videotape, that Sergei Magnitsky's not a lawyer. Why did you say that when you keep saying he's a lawyer? You'll never find that. Never, ever, ever, ever. Not one interview.
You know why? Because Bill Browder goes on Western media outlets that don't even have a spine instead of going on Russian media outlets that would actually call him out for this. Lee Stranahan, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your breakdown. I wish we could talk more about your experience in London with the Skripal poisoning case and the new ripples that have come from that. Once again, looks like a fake news story against Putin. But we'll just have to wait for you to return to the States and break that report. So, Lee Stranahan, thank you so much for joining us today. All right, there goes Lee Stranahan, citizenjournalismschool.com, populisttv.com. On the other side of this break, we're going to be joined by Martina Markota. She was in London during the Trump protest. And if you saw the footage she got, it's quite shocking. These creatures are really disturbing.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
You know, this is an incredible story here that I'm not really going to be able to get to, but, and I can't even, the crew just found this. So I asked them to find this story on Mother Jones, written by Michael Isakov and David Korn, to totally stooge journalists, fake journalists that are nothing more than a mouthpiece and a pen for the Democrat left in America. They write this story on March 9th, 2018, the secret story of Obama's response to Putin's attack on the 2016 election. Now, again, you have to understand, Michael Isakov is a leftist puppet. He spiked the Monica Lewinsky story for Yahoo News when they could have broke it. David Korn, who runs Mother Jones, is a total leftist. He hates InfoWars. He lies about us. They write this story on March 9th of last year talking about, and apparently they've written 12 books about how Obama knew of Putin and the Russians trying to hack into the election. Now, they go in here. They, you know, John Brennan is mentioned in here. They act like, oh, there's all a bunch of hubba below about Russian interference. But they did nothing. They did nothing. And this is the mouthpiece of the left admitting it. And then the crew found this story from the same day, March 9th, 2018, on Business Insider. Susan Rice reportedly told the White House cyber team to knock it off when they floated options to combat Russian meddling. Maybe this is the hot mic moment between Obama and Medved. I may be mispronouncing his name, where he says, oh, just wait till I get reelected. Then we'll be more flexible and we can do things. Is that Obama saying we're going to let you meddle in our elections? Is that what this is? They stood down multiple times. We have the hot mic. There's more evidence for Obama meddling and colluding with Russia than Trump. And even the left admits it. It's incredible. And here we are. I'm now joined by Martina Markota. You can find her on Twitter at martinamarkota.com. She is the unofficial leader of the goth right. She was in London during the Trump protests. They had a big Trump baby out there. And really just a bunch of creatures showed up, Martina. So, you know, you've been to some Trump protests in the United States. You've seen some of the people that show up for that. It's a lot of deranged lunatic type of people. But what we saw in London was like a totally different story. Talk about the creatures that you saw coming out to protest Trump in London.
The creatures, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. And I mean, just to be clear, that baby Trump balloon was not as big as they really wanted it to be. It was quite pathetic, actually. So it was not impressive at all. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I expected these types of people, trans, drag queens, people showing up. They called it a carnival, I think. That's what they actually said about it. And they seem to really, really think that Britain unanimously does not want to accept Trump. But that's actually not true. There was definitely plenty of Trump supporters that I know of and that I've met in England, and they just are a loud minority. You know what I mean?
But these people understand that Trump is the president of the United States, right? do they understand that, or do they not?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they wanted. I mean, I asked them, why are they there? What are they doing? What are they trying to do? And it was just, we just want to show him that he's not welcome here. And I mean, it doesn't really matter what you think. I mean, he is the president of the United States. And I just thought it was really interesting that they didn't want to have a relationship with America, the trade agreement. They thought that, you know, our alliance should not be there anymore as long as Trump is president. They just think that he's going to bring more right-wing policies to England. And I mean, it's just incredible. It's a very obvious what the type of stuff they say. You know, he's a racist and this and that. Well, it's all the typical things you hear in America. But they really wanted to show up in carnival-like fashion. And, you know, that's what they do. They're pretty weird.
Well, I mean, it is funny. I mean, how can you not laugh at these people? It's such a clown show. But on a serious note here, I mean, really? It's just like the guy, and I don't know if you've seen this story. There was a green-haired, quote-unquote, non-binary that assaulted a high school student, took his MAGA hat, spit on it, told him he's not welcome here, get the F out of my city. On a real serious note here, when you talk about social engineering, that G, whatever they want to be called, and then all those people that showed up to these London protests, this is a serious problem for mankind. That is the last stage of humanity before we die out. Like, that is the last stage of humans before we go extinct, right there. That is the death of humanity. That's what these people represent.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's just the bottom of the bottom. Did you see that photo that was spreading around? I mean, with the legs spread open and all that, they just, They have no shame. And, you know, quite honestly, I am used to seeing this type of stuff in New York. You know, I'm from New York, so London and New York have this parallel. And so it was quite like an alternate reality to be there, and everyone just had funny accents, but it was the same rhetoric. It's the same thing. It really shows you that they're really watching the same type of stuff. The media is all saying the same type of thing, and they're regurgitating the same thing that they say in New York. There's no difference to it.
And why don't the people in London care about their own country and their own leaders, like Sadiq Khan, who says terrorism is part and parcel? Here they are focusing on Trump, who's not even involved in their politics, really. I mean, okay, he can have a conversation with your leaders. Apparently not, I guess. But it's like they don't even realize that their own leaders, like Sadiq Khan, are destroying their cities. And they just say, oh, Trump bad. Let's have a Trump balloon.
That's absolutely true. I mean, Sadiq Khan it's so horrible how he's running that city. And I mean, he says that stabbings are a parcel of living in a diverse city. I mean, who says that? That's insane.
No, that's just totally factually incorrect. I mean, you look at Houston, Texas, it's the most diverse city in America. I mean, maybe the world. I really don't know. But you don't have a bunch of random stabbings happening every day. I mean, sure, you're going to have some violence in a big city, but it's not because of multiculturalism. It's because of open borders and not having people coming in that actually want to be a part of that culture.
And you know what's interesting is that the Met Police there, that's what they call it, the Met Police, they are focused. They have it in their manuals about diversity training and how to, combat hate crimes and stuff like that. This is what they're teaching their police instead of acknowledging where this crime is coming from and dealing with that in a more direct route. They're teaching their police about diversity training and how to accept more, you know, diverse genders and cultures. And they want to make the police equivalent to the amount of diversity that there is in London. They're focused on that and making it less white and making it more diverse to reflect the city, which is why is that a priority for the police?
Yeah, that's not crime fighting. I guess that's the point. They're not fighting crime anymore. And so crime runs rampant. But I mean, so like in the United States, obviously I've had a lot of experiences with cops. Actually, I really don't understand. I feel like the New York Police Department is like, I don't get it. I don't know why they wouldn't arrest the individual that assaulted us. They saw it on camera. They clearly let him go. Maybe they were working with the guy. I really don't know. He did have Stingray equipment, but that's another story. My point is, though, most of the cops that I deal with in America are still like sane, and you can tell that they have some protocol not to really do anything to these people. Did you see that in London, or were the police even like kind of with him? Like, oh yeah, we love the freak show.
You know, I didn't really see that much police during the protest. I did see them around a bar. There were some people with MAGA hats, and they were pro-Trump people, and they were just kind of chanting, they were waving American flags and British flags. It's the same thing in America, where if you see a, American flag or British flag, you know that they're the patriots, because the left don't bring that kind of flag. They're carrying the Antifa flags and any other, the EU flag, any other sort of flag except the British flag. So you saw the red hats and you saw the flags, and there was a barrier of police pretty much just standing around, not doing much. I mean, I've also seen with Anne-Marie Waters, she's campaigning here in England, and she's really sending the right message. And when she was at some hustings, supposed to do some sort of debate, the police just kind of stood around and didn't really create a barrier. They didn't push people out of the way to make a safe entryway. They kind of just stand around and let things happen. They don't have guns. So they really are pretty passive.
All right, one more segment with Martina Marcota on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. Well, it's weird that the left picks and chooses when it wants to obsess about sex. So it's like, if you want to mutilate yourself and destroy your sex, the left is into it. If you're Bill Clinton and you use cigars and you have rape cases settled, the left has no interest. If you're Barack Obama and you refer to your wife, Michael, multiple times, the left has no interest in it. But Martina Marcota is my guest here. Martina, this is going to shock you, all right? I know this is going to shock you. Brace yourself, but they're reporting that Donald Trump may have had sexual relations with a Playboy model. Shocking, I know, right? Shocking.
Incredible. Well, I mean, you know, that's funny because, I mean, is that even shocking at all? Because we all knew Trump's history. I mean, those of us that are old enough know what he was like, I mean, throughout his whole career. This is totally in line with him, and this is who we voted for. And you know what? I've said this about the Trump tapes that were exposed, the Access Hollywood tapes. At least he was talking about an adult woman. Nothing wrong with that.
And again, they take these things out of context. He's clearly joking. Again, it's inappropriate, whatever. People, see, this is what I'm so sick of. People act like they don't talk like this when they're hanging out with their friends behind closed doors. Look, you know, we all say things we regret. We all say stupid things. That doesn't mean we're a bad person. That doesn't mean that you mean what you say. It doesn't even matter.
I just did a video just now, too, about, have you heard about that James Gunn thing, right, with the...
He jokes. This is sick. Excuse me. I mean, you know, Muffet, if you have a child, he jokes and celebrates a monkey masturbating on a child.
So, I mean, the left can joke around and do whatever they want, but it's funny how they want to take us out of context and blow up every little thing. And at this protest, just the way that they were talking about Trump being this horrible, like, sexual monster. And it's like, what about the cigar with Bill Clinton? What about, you know, every president having affairs? What about all this stuff? What about James Gunn? And it's just like, no one wants to acknowledge anything unless it's like the right or Trump. They take it and they put it out of context and when I worked in the performing industry in New York, I worked at this club that did the most bizarre. It was all these people. All these
before
freaks
you got blackballed, by the way, before they blackballed you for being a conservative.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was working with all these freaks. They would have acts on stage that people would, you know, do number two on, and they would do this whole thing and spread it around. They would dildo on stage.
That sounds like a leftist protest.
Yeah. They would dildo as nuns on stage and defile Christianity. They would do all these horrible things, and they would do, like, rape kind of things, and just everything was very, to the extreme, sexualized. Then when the Trump tapes came out, they acted like they were pearl-clutching churchgoers. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just an innocent church mouse. Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh. A billionaire playboy has sex with playmate models. I can't even believe this.
It's just like blew my mind. And the owner of this club that I worked at, he had lawsuits going after him from like 10 years ago because he would do weird, you know, jerk off in dressing rooms, try to like do weird shit to girls. And there was lawsuits. He had to pay tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm like, look at who you work for. And you have a problem with Trump, really? Okay, fine.
Well, I just want to say this. The footage that you captured when you were out there in London, I mean, again, that's the kind of sexual depravity that they celebrate, is just being as weird and out there as possible, you know, but normal sexual activity that you would expect between Donald Trump and a Playboy model is somehow like status that they need to be complaining and raise a big fuss over it. So it's really just ridiculous.
How dare he be a straight male? How dare him?
That's what it is. That's what it is. Martina Markota, thank you for joining us. Follow her on Twitter at martinamarkota.com, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, everything we do here at InfoWars is possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. We have huge specials. If you've not seen the InfoWars store yet, go check it out. Amazing discounts store-wide right now, including 50% off top-selling supplements like Brain Force Plus, Alpha Power, Super Male Vitality, Vitamin Mineral Fusion. It's all there. New t-shirts at the InfoWars store as well, including one that I just got, the new InfoWars Hexagon logo. Very, very cool logo and kind of more discreet. So a radical liberal might not come over and try to punch you in the face or spit on you if you wear that t-shirt, whereas, you know, a Trump t-shirt, you're more than likely to have that happen. So it's all possible thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge discount store-wide right now. All right, Alex Jones is on the phone. He is doing some work, taking care of his family right now, but he has a report that he wants to break right now here on the Alex Jones Show. Alex, what is the latest?
You've got the guest who was attacked in Seattle when he was there visiting and spit on by the green-haired gremlin that's now gone completely viral. It's up on InfoWars.com, so that's coming up. I just wanted to point people in the direction of a story on InfoWars.com that's really important. That that's when I, so many times when I'm on the air, don't look at InfoWars.com or NewsWars.com, and then later I get off the air and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at these incredible stories that got no attention. So we're going to cover that in just a moment. But first, here's where I stand on Trump and the two women we know of. One on a Playboy Playmate, who said he treated her very nice, and it was right as he was getting married, and then he stopped seeing her as he was married, and right at the same time, Stormy Daniels a couple times, reportedly. Trump never said he was an angel. He never said he had association with Playboy, he had association with, you know, women modeling groups. He is a red-blooded type guy. He's got, you know, five kids. The guy is not a hypocrite. He's told me the truth and all of us the truth about getting the economy going, rebuilding the military, securing the border, crushing political correctness. He's been truthful about what he said he would do. And so now they have Cohen, the lawyer who recorded Trump over a decade ago, agreeing to a payment for a woman who hadn't even decided to go public against him and who didn't. So it's just him giving a woman, some money because she was in love with him and felt bad that he didn't marry Melania. And then he didn't break it off. That happens sometimes. You know, you get married, you don't break off the last girlfriend for a while, kind of have a few flings. That's what Trump did right when he hit 60. He went through a midlife crisis. I don't know people that know him. He was always a one-woman guy, except when he was divorced. Then he played the field. He kind of had a midlife crisis. Not a big one at 60, but just felt old. That's even in magazine articles back at the time, that he kind of went all wild for about a year or so. And that's not a good thing. The point is, he's not a hypocrite, and he's a truthful guy. And it's true that God literally has had providence on Trump, providence on InfoWars. And so the issue is, yes, the left is saying we want to have sex with your kids. The left is saying, we're going to sexualize your kids and teach them to cut their genitals off with brainwashing at age five. We're going to do all this horrible, evil stuff, promote pedophilia, Salon, HBO, all of it promote pedophilia. But then, if a guy in his private life over a decade ago, 12, 13, 14 years ago, went on a jag, went a little wild, then, oh my gosh, he's the devil. He never said he was a saint. And of all the sins, King David had his best friend killed so he could have sex with his wife. And then he repented and got on his, and really was real. And God said, you're a man from my own heart, and changed his life. And so, the point is, Donald Trump hadn't had his best friend killed to have sex with a woman. God built us this way. God knows our hearts better than other people. And you're right. Men who are red-blooded, and all these women he's been super nice to, super polite. His wives have all said that, his current wife, and these other women. And so that's what it shows, is that Donald Trump is red-blooded the way God made him, and that's just the way it is. He has a hunger for things, just like he has a hunger for liberty and freedom and the fight to take on the globalists. Now, you have your big guest coming up, but I wanted to direct people briefly for 2 minutes when we come back to a huge story on InfoWars.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
So the left and the double standards that they exhibit are becoming more clear than ever, whether it be them saying we go high when they go low, yet they continue to go lower and lower, spitting on Trump supporters, ripping their hats off, beating people, burning American flags. You now have the left that endorses pedophilia, covers up for Bill Clinton, and doesn't seem to be bothered by the sexualization of children, now totally outraged that Donald Trump had a relationship with a Playboy model over a decade ago. Alex, it's incredible that they think they can get away with this and the average American is not going to see it.
Well, they keep saying, you Christians are immoral. You're on your high horse about, us and what we're doing, but then you don't care about Trump. No, he was never a hypocrite, and it's consenting adults, and the left is targeting our kids and trying to sexualize them and brainwash them. That's what we don't like. What adults do is what adults do. Doesn't mean we don't think it's perfect. What Trump's doing, if he was like one of these famous preachers that says, if you ever have sex outside of marriage, you're going to hell, and then you find out the guy's banging hookers every night. Excuse my French. That's the people I don't like. It's hypocrites. And you notice Christ was all about that. He said, look at these Pharisees. They tell you how good they are up there on the Sabbath and pray in public, but then behind the scenes, they're totally wicked. He said, you know, give me somebody that isn't perfect but actually loves God and tries to be a better person. That's what matters. But I'm not going to get into preaching. We've got a very important guest coming up right now who I want to congratulate for being very cool and calm and collected and also exposing what he did. And great job, the producers, getting him so quickly. The story's up on Infowars.com. But I wanted to point this out. I don't know how long this CBS reporter is going to have a job like Cheryl Atkinson, but this gentleman, you can go find out his name and see the video, is on Infowars.com, right below the top headline scroller, with "This is why they want a wall" is the headline. And he goes down there for 15 minutes at the Texas-Mexico border and goes over to the Mexican side and sees a boat full of drugs being brought across by a smuggler just a half mile or so from the main Border Patrol checkpoint in plain view, just like Joe Biggs and Don Salazar and the crew caught drugs being brought across right down by the same area a few years ago. And the media said, oh, Jones just claims it's drugs. No, the Border Patrol confirmed, the FBI confirmed it was drugs. So that's what goes on. They bring these big dinghy boats across full of it. And the issue is that it's a collapsed country, especially northern Mexico, is more dangerous than anywhere else in the world. It is the most dangerous place in the world per square mile, hundreds of thousands dead. And then they play dumb and go, oh, you're hurting children, like this green-haired guy that says he's a non-binary person and just has all this vile stuff on his Twitter, spitting and yelling and screaming in Seattle. The same thing happened to me. I had people spit at me, didn't catch it on tape. Had a guy dump coffee on me, did catch it on tape. Had people threaten to attack me, and then they'd always run off. And I just say, just talk to me. So they're so brainwashed, and they're so wound up, just like we've got Judge Jeanine Pirro, very classy lady, very smart lady. She's been a host for years, a co-host off and on The View. She knows Whoopi. And that video is up on Infowars.com. It's incredible. I think you guys played it earlier. And they get in her face, scream at her. She's trying to leave. She sees Whoopi. She says, Whoopi, you know, we've been friends. Well, what's wrong? She goes, get the F out. Get the F out. Gets in her face, totally goes crazy. This is who they are, folks. This is a civil war. They have geared them up. The corporate chiefs have told them, get aggressive, to stir the public up, to get violent and go after everybody. And then this green-haired guy that attacked our next guest, Ashton Hesh, says on his own Twitter, oh, you kill thousands of children that Trump detains. I mean, why not? Why not? They just had Congress the other day saying that I deny anybody died at Parkland. Never said that. Did I say it's all fake? Never said that. So they go, oh, and by the way, he's a Holocaust denier. So it's the headlines, you know, Facebook defends Alex Jones and Holocaust denial. So they are full court press against this country. We're so used to the normal way things are in this nation. We don't get, they're coming after us. The Chi-Coms own Hollywood. A lot of the media, the foreign governments are instituting an attempted overthrow of the United States. So let's keep Mr. Hess 5 minutes of the next hour. Hell, I want to start some podcasts with these activists like himself. We're getting the crew hired right now. We're a month away. So let's keep Mr. Hess, you know, there. And hopefully have him as a reporter from Illinois. There he is vacationing in Seattle. People say, why would you vacation in Seattle? Incredible seaplanes that aren't even very expensive to fly up to Canada to see the killer whales. A couple $100. Unbelievable. When you fly back into the bay, beautiful area, beautiful architecture, incredible food. A lot of great people in Seattle. It is a great place, but you can't take your kids there because there's feces all over the ground and crazy homeless people in purple wigs, and they're the minority, but they run things. And a good 20% of people will get in your face if you're even a Christian or a conservative, you name it. So it is dangerous. There is a travel advisory for the area, but at the same time, too bad that the left infest these beautiful areas like San Francisco and Seattle and Austin, Texas, ruining, you know, my family's hometown, you know, back to Colonel Travis. So, and they're telling me, get the hell out of your own town. So let's go to Ashton Hess. Young man, we salute you. We appreciate you. Your reports are excellent. The way you responded is excellent. And so I'm going to let Owen take over, but please describe what happened, what's unfolded. I can let you know the campaign's taking an interest in what you're doing. They really appreciate what you're doing with the young Republicans. And so if it's all right with you, I'm going to pass your number on to them. But just God bless you, and we really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Go ahead, Owen.
So, Ashton, just let's start off kind of like imagine we're sitting in a campfire right now, and tell me a story. So You're just minding your own business, walking through Seattle. Just tell the story.
All right. So we had just gotten done getting a coffee, and we were just sitting there waiting for a ride back to the hotel. Waiting on a ride up on the side of the street, and I was just on my phone. So was my family. My whole family was there, and all of a sudden, this guy just runs up, and I just got hit in the head, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why. My dad told me that the girl that was with him, there was a girl with him. She took the hat, threw it to the guy, and I look up then, and I'm looking at this guy with green hair, and I'm looking over, and the guy is yelling at me. He's got my hat. And I'm just like, come on, man, come on. Like, is this really necessary? Like, it completely blindsided me. I didn't want to like overreact and go and chase him down or anything. I was just wanted to keep my cool, but he spit on my hat, threw it into the street. I really didn't know what to say, but I went after him. He cursed at me. He told me I wasn't welcome in the city, called me a racist. I never met the guy. I mean, he has no idea what my views are, and I'm surely not a racist. But yeah, I mean, just someone doing that just out of nowhere is just crazy to me that someone would just do that in the street. I'm just visiting the city just with my family. I don't know what the deal was.
Well, and you caught, I think that your video that you recorded is actually, I think, like 30 seconds long or something. So you're saying you just thought, like, immediately after this happened, hey, I'm going to get out and record this? Or how much time happened between them originally hitting you, taking your hat, and then you hitting record on your cell phone?
So I was already on my phone. It was probably about like 5 to 10 seconds before I hit record. I went to the March for Our Lives in my town and went there and recorded that. So I had like started a YouTube channel sort of, and I saw it as an opportunity to expose the left, to expose what's going on with America now, how people just think it's okay to just rip hats off kids and yell at them in the streets. So I saw it as an opportunity. I pulled out my phone right away to get it on video, to show my friends and get it out there to the media and see if we can get some more voters for the Republican Party, because I don't think very many normal, sane people want to support people like that doing things to kids when they're just visiting a city on vacation with their family.
Well, you're a smart young man, Ashton, and you have the right thought. You're going to be a senior in high school next year. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, and you're from O'Fallon, Illinois. I'm actually from St. Louis, Missouri, so a bit of a kinship between our two towns. It's incredible. We want to hold you over for a little bit in this next segment, if you can. But, folks, let's get Ashton's Twitter up there. Let's get Ashton's YouTube channel up there. Let's get Ashton and double the followers on Twitter, double the YouTube subscribers. Let's really blow this channel up, because these are young Americans taking action to expose the people that are trying to destroy this country. This is what we need more of. This is how we change the game. The left thinks they own the young vote. They don't. Let's own the young vote.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
Ashton Hess is a young patriot from O'Fallon, Illinois, a high school student, making his country proud. And he will be eligible to vote in the 2020 presidential election. And he's so smart. You heard him in the last segment saying, hey, look, you know, I want to record this stuff. I went to the March for Our Lives to record this stuff. I want people my age to see who the left really is so that they won't be attracted to voting for them in 2020. Really smart stuff there. There is his Twitter account, at Hess Ashton. Guys, let's pull up his YouTube channel, too, so that the audience can see where to subscribe and check out his YouTube videos. I wasn't even aware, actually, that Ashton had shot a report from a March for Our Lives. So this guy's even more engaged than I thought. But Ashton, why do you think you're dealing with people that want to rip your hat off, spit on you, spit on your hat, stomp on your hat, make a big scene of it? What do you think is motivating these people to act so deranged?
I think what's motivating them to act so deranged is, I mean, their leaders don't help, saying that we should like occupy the airports and do all these things. Follow the Trump cabinet around at restaurants, make a crowd around them. I mean, that doesn't help at all. But I also think like they just can't accept other people's views. Like, just because I think differently than them, they just think I'm evil. They don't know anything about me. They just assume, oh, he's got a MAGA hat on, so he must be a terrible racist person. And they don't really look at the facts. They just do it all out of emotion. They just get so enraged just because they see a certain slogan on a hat. It's just ridiculous to me how they act, and they can't control themselves whatsoever.
And now, obviously, I mean, you're going to have to get a new Trump hat. You don't want to wear that hat again. And who knows what kind of a disease or infested in that man's saliva. But yeah, you know, I think that you're 100% right. You know, Maxine Waters saying things. In fact, if you go listen, Maxine Waters said, you tell them you're not welcome here. That's exactly what the guy said to you. He said, you're not welcome here. That's right out of Maxine Waters.
Yep.
And so what do you think, though, as someone that's been victimized by this? You know, if you want to go out and wear a MAGA hat, this could happen to you now because of people like Maxine Waters. I mean, what do you think about this? How do we stop this? You know, when will Maxine Waters be held accountable for her rhetoric?
I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. And to stop it, I don't really know if we can. The left has gone so far left recently that it's an absolute battleground out there. I mean, just people yelling at you for no reason. I don't know if Maxine Waters will ever be held accountable for what she's said and what she's told her supporters to do. I hope in some way she is, and she can recognize and see these videos and say, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. Now, please respect these people and get an open dialogue, because all I want is an open dialogue. I don't want a fist fight or anything like that. It's just better to talk about these things instead of yell and scream.
You know what? And I'll say this, because the left wants to virtue signal for any minority group out there, and I could label one minority group or something like that. I'm not even going to do this. You pick, the audience member, you pick the minority group or pick whatever group that the left virtue signals for, saying they're victims. Now, let's say that you are a member of that group. Let's just use transsexuals for an example, or any of the minorities that they say are being victimized in America. What do you think has a higher risk of violence being done against you, of being assaulted, of having someone insult you and experiencing prejudice in the street? What do you think has a greater risk of that? Any of the minority groups that the left claims are victims, or if you go out on the street in a MAGA hat, which group do you think, Ashton, is more likely to experience prejudice and violence against them?
Definitely the people in the MAGA hats. I mean, just because we support something and they all see them as the villain, then they're going to attack. And that's just what they do. And their leaders are encouraging it too.
Well, it's incredible that happened to you, but I'm glad that you caught it on video, and it's powerful footage, and it will make an impact. Maybe you change 100 people's minds. Maybe you change one person's mind. It's still worth it to get that footage. So let's pull up his Twitter. Let's pull up his YouTube channel again. Let's get a bunch of traffic to his Twitter and to his YouTube channel, because Ashton is a young member of America here who's fighting for patriotism and truth. And we need to have young patriots like him to stand up for truth, because the left thinks that they own the young vote. The left thinks that in 2020, they're going to get the same young vote turnout like they did in 2008 for Obama. But if we have more people like Ashton Hess out there exposing the left to young people, then I think that that'll really hurt them. Where do you think this is going? Where do you expect all the hatred against Trump supporters to go? Do you think they're going to get more rabid and hateful and violent, or do you think they're going to take a look in the mirror and realize they've been wrong?
So I think they're going to get more rabid and violent to a point. There's going to be a certain point where they realize they've gone too far, and the whole country is going to turn against them. I mean, the left is just distancing themselves further and further and further, and the sane people are going to realize that and come to the right to fight back against it.
Well, and this is already happening with the hashtag walk away. There's a YouTube channel, hashtag walk away. And then CNN says, oh, hashtag walk away is a bunch of Russian bots. Even though there's a YouTube channel with hundreds and hundreds of videos of all the people that are walking away. So I guess you're right though. And I think what's going to happen here psychologically is that now they see how badly they're losing, they're just going to act more deranged. I think that's what you experienced, you know, this sad soul, a green-haired non-binary. I mean, you know, I'm not even going to begin to break down that psychological paradigm. But this is a guy who I think just feels more and more of an outcast and is more and more angry at society, feeling like he doesn't belong because he's being told all these things and being told that everyone hates him when he's the one walking around filled with hate and you caught it on camera. Another question that I have for you, when you saw the green-haired non-binary come up and do that to you, was there anyone else around there? Did they cheer it on? Did they say he was crazy? What was it like for other people around that witnessed that?
So it was basically just me and my family, and we didn't like see him walk up or anything. He just completely blindsided us, so we were all in shock. But he was with a girl. The girl in the video you saw, she like said, "Oh, you know what it says on that hat, right?" Like she like said it like, "You deserve it." Like she cheered it on, and it was just them two. Everyone else was just kind of in shock, just looking around like that kid just got attacked by a guy with green hair. And I think everyone was just more surprised and they didn't really have time to react.
And so they probably saw that now. And if they were politically neutral, what side of the aisle do you think they're going to go to now?
Well, I think they're going to go to the right. I mean, no one wants to support a person that attacks children because they have a certain hat on.
And think about what she says. She says, "Oh, you see what your hat says? Yeah, it says 'Make America Great Again.' Aren't you an American?" Like, they don't even understand that they've been so propagandized into hating their own prosperity.
Yeah. I mean, she said that, like, you know what it says. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm not ashamed. That's what I believe in, and I don't think it represents racism or anything to that degree. If it did, I wouldn't be wearing the hat.
Exactly. Now, of course, you're a high school student, and I'm just curious, has your political activism made it to your high school? Are you politically active there? Do you have dialogue there, or do you kind of not go into those realms in high school?
Yeah, so that March for Our Lives thing, that was organized by a bunch of people at my high school, and I had a video up about discussing with the people that went to my high school. We actually had really good dialogue, a lot more than the adults there. And I'm moving into next year. We're starting a Young Republicans Club, and I'll be the president and founder of that. So we're moving into that. We're going to promote healthy dialogue, promote our Republican values, and hopefully get some people over to our side of the aisle before we go to the battleground, which is college.
Dude, you are kicking ass. Let me tell you something. Illinois is a blue state that typically goes blue. I have a bunch of friends and family in Illinois that are capitalists, and they see the Democrat Party going socialist. It scares them to death. I'm telling you, man, you could make a difference in this next election or in future elections, because it's people like you that can turn the state of Illinois red, which is what it used to be. It used to go red, you know, the land of Lincoln. So this is actually an incredible thing. With the Democrats going socialist, Democrats in Illinois are capitalists. You could see an opportunity with the young vote and the stuff that you're doing that could actually change the outcome of future elections. So Ashton, you're doing great work. Just once again, tell the audience your YouTube channel, tell the audience your Twitter handle so we can get some traffic there.
All right, my YouTube channel is Ashton Hess, just my name, and my Twitter is Hess Ashton.
So there you go, folks. So support him. Let's get him a big following there on Twitter and YouTube so that all of the work he's doing there as a high school student in the state of Illinois and middle America to win over young minds that may be brainwashed by the left, to expose them what the left really is. Ashton Hess, thank you so much for joining us today. Godspeed, brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, there goes Ashton Hess. I'm telling you, folks, even the tiniest thing that you might not think has a major impact has a bigger impact than you even know. In fact, just doing something is important.
InfoWars comes to mind.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
But there's a lot of controversy around this network about Alex Jones.
Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to bury stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
JFK was shot from the back and the front.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
I think this is a national security imperative. We have clear things that we do not understand how they work, operating in areas
that we can't control.
UFOs.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bank is in charge.
Israel claims the attack was accidental, but some former U.S. naval officers say it was on purpose. They describe the day's action as part of a continuing cover-up.
Russian intelligence compiled a dossier on Mr. Trump during visits to Moscow.
Russian scum!
Denied everything. He called it all fake news.
And he accused CNN of being fake news.
If they kill Trump or remove Trump, it will cause a massive civil war in this country.
This is a FEMA high level alert.
We are at war with Russia.
Are you aware that Mr. Stone also stated publicly that he was in direct communication with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks?
The White House and the president are citing InfoWars.
They can shut us down. You're next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
The View, a panel of leftists spewing Alinskyite propagandized slogans based on weaponized disinformation to their gullible mob audience. It's only a matter of time before Trump derangement syndrome begins to bubble to the surface.
An ideologue. I mean, I have been in the crime business for over three decades, and I think I said that before. And I know a con when I see it. And I think that what has happened in the last, truly in the last campaign, and everybody needs to be concerned about that. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind.
Not an ideologue.
Yeah. No, I'm not. And I am in law enforcement.
Let me ask you the question.
Right and wrong.
Do you think Donald Trump embraces and embodies conservative ideology? Remember, he used to be have a different position on pro-choice. He's imposing tariffs. He's against globalism. Do you think he is an ideologue that is faithful to conservative policies?
You know, I'm not here to talk about what Donald Trump is and isn't.
But you talk about it.
No, you got to answer the question. You want to talk about Donald Trump? You tell me what metric in this country is worse off. Unemployment is lower than it's been in 50 years. Minorities, Hispanics, African Americans have jobs.
Hate crimes are worse off.
And wait a minute, the GDP under Obama was barely one. We're going up to four.
And if Democrats don't get their, you know what, together, he's certainly going to get reelected.
Well, here's my question for you because you talk about.
I am not, Judge.
Did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of, I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation.
This is where the Trump derangement syndrome starts to fester. Whoopi is arguing a moot point. Yes, Whoopi, over 32% of federal inmates in the U.S. are illegal aliens. And yes, roughly 5,000 U.S. citizens die every year as a result of illegal alien drivers. And yes, there is a largely ignored rape epidemic of American children by illegal aliens. And yes, it does cost the U.S. taxpayers roughly $113 billion per year to pick up the tab on the illegals pouring over our border. Whoopi's frustration is meaningless because regardless of what fantasy the left may believe, we do have immigration laws, and most Americans want them enforced and strengthened.
Listen, I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody be so dismissive.
Next, Whoopi mockingly asked, what is the deep state? As if it were on par with the fictional Legion of Doom.
One of the things that you...
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. Longing for the sun.
And welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. And this is Dr. Nick Begich, and I'm going to be with you for the next few segments. And Alex will be coming back for the last two segments of this hour, this fourth hour today. And I'm broadcasting today from Alaska, actually, my home in Anchorage. And I want to kind of pick up where some of the last segment left off. You know, first of all, talking about background and the diversity of thought and how much anger and violence is showing up in our culture right now is pretty disheartening to all of us. And I want to talk about that in the context of my own family. I'm a libertarian. Before that, for 25 years, I was Alaska Independence Party, which is very different from my family and my parents' history. They're both were Democrats. My father was a United States Congressman, a state senator. My younger brother, Mark, was a state senator as a U.S. senator as a Democrat, and was a mayor of Anchorage a couple of terms, Anchorage Assembly a couple of terms. My other brother, Tom, is a member of the state senate, also a Democrat. My son is a Republican, and since he was a young man in his teens, a young Republican all the way up to now and is just turning 40, a Republican all his life and active in the Republican Party here. Now, you can imagine with Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Independents, I might add, coming together at the holidays makes for a pretty lively debate, because my family are all very informed and have very strong positions. But as a model for the country, the idea of speech, even speech that is repugnant, quite frankly, to one another, we still are able to have it. And it's not an environment of tolerance, this idea that somehow we shut up and tolerate things. No, not in that. But in a real discussion that's respectful. That means we accept the right of the other party to say what they need to say and make their point. But at the same time, with an obligation kind of informally in my family, if you're going to complain, you also come in with a solution set. And even if it isn't the one that's arrived at in the end, that's what we usually end up debating. Not the fact that there's a problem, but sort of what's the solution to it. And what I want to say about that is what we're seeing now, so much now from the left, is this anger, this hate, and even violence. This is not the way. Or shutting down speech. Again, an effort from the left. Let's not let anybody say what they think. And let's beat people up in the street for their political views, for goodness sake. I mean, as much as religion as a reason for not being beat up in the street are your political views. These are the protected speech. I mean, short of screaming fire in a movie theater where people are put in immediate danger, speech should be allowed at a level higher than tolerance, acceptance, and open discussion. And the kinds of things that lead us to practical and real solutions. And I'm going to dedicate most of my time today to talking about problems and solutions in the context of not left, right, right, wrong, but how do we get through the mud hole, the swamp? And you want to talk about a deep state? I'll tell you about a deep state. Deep state took out my father when he was a congressman, disappeared him as a congressman, along with the majority leader of the U.S. House, in the early 70s. That's a story for another day. We found out through FBI telexes released 20 years later sort of what happened. I don't trust the FBI. They're part of that deep state. They have been since the beginning, since Hoover ran the place. When you look at the Kennedy family now, 50 years has elapsed. Now more is coming out. They don't believe it was an accident either, whether it was Robert or JFK. This is deep state in operation, ladies and gentlemen, and I know because it's happened to my family. And this is the reality of it. But solutions are what we need right now. And dialogue that is healthy, not for the sake of political correctness at all, but for the sake of open, real discussion. And one of the other rules, my family, my son was in Austin recently in a Republican gathering, and he was after the meetings having a drink with some of the guys, and some guy literally wanted to engage him in a political debate, but not at a rational level of discourse, but elevating, screaming, hollering. My son said, "Wait," this is how we do it. We don't elevate with them. We just keep lowering our voice. The louder they get, the quieter we get. Until they got to really listen close because we're almost whispering, or we stop it. In this case, he had to stop and say, "Look, you want to have a discussion without the emotional overlay so we can actually talk. I'll stay and have the conversation. Otherwise, I'm leaving." And that is it. Turn down the volume and let's have a discussion, America, and get through this stuff together. whether we agree with each other or not. And I want to jump into some issues leaping off from there. And the one, you know, I'm thinking about, what can I cover in these segments? Because Alex is going to grab those last two really important stuff that has to be dealt with. But I want to at least take on an issue today, and I want to take on healthcare. And I want to talk about how it plays into the media frenzy. I don't watch TV. I gave it up about 7 years ago. But when I travel, I click it on and see what's going on. And it's, I cannot believe the pharmaceutical industry advertising. And you can't shut them up because that's free speech, right? I mean, they can advertise prescription drugs that nobody watching virtually can buy because you're not an MD. But they're going to tell you, and they're going to spend, you know, 40% of drug costs in America are related to the advertising costs. 40% to convince you to buy something you can't buy. And I can't advertise cigarettes on TV, but the reason you can't is that was the settlement of a lawsuit because they had lied to everybody and told everybody it's safe when, in fact, they knew it was killing everyone. So they have to, you know, remove their speech from public airwaves as a settlement for the industry. We don't have that kind of leverage with the pharmaceutical industry, so they're free to advertise where they want. But what we do have is a tax code. Make it so it is not tax deductible, and it has to come out of shareholder profits. Non-deductible promotion for doctors, except for the free samples. Give them the free samples. No problem, because a lot of times those go to people who can't afford prescriptions. So that's cool. Gives the doctor something to hand out. But no more paid perks for docs. No deductibility. Can't deduct. You can do whatever you want, but it's coming out of shareholder profits. And you can't advertise and deduct it. You can do whatever you want, but you're going to eat the cost, not the guy buying the prescription drug through tax deductions and other loopholes. So you take that away. And then another thing you can do with the pharmaceutical industry is set a law that says they cannot sell a pharmaceutical in the United States for 1 cent more than they sell it anywhere else in the world at the wholesale level. And then create a whistleblower mechanism so executives come forward, get a percentage of the action for when they identify the pharmaceutical companies that break the law. Now, that's how you equalize price on something required for the very living of people and the vultures in this industry that are feeding off of us with 18% of our GNP absorbed by medical costs. This is the problem. Part of the problem, at least. And 40%, 60% of all medical costs in America are pharmaceuticals. And 40% of that is this propaganda that is saturating our airwaves and owning the media because of the amount of money spent there and deducted. And you and I are paying for it in high pharma bills disproportionate to the whole planet. And we're doing most of the basic research in the world, although the Chinese are catching up, filing more patents than we are all the time. So I want to talk a couple more dimensions on health care, because these are real solutions that make a difference on the bills we're paying. You know, in Alaska, I'll give you the worst example in the United States, because I'm in it. 500% more are charged for general medical procedures in Alaska than the rest of the country, although the costs here are only 34% more. We pay five times as much for 34% more in costs. This is profiteering. This is what is in the way of the truth. Greed by shareholders of companies that don't even know their corporate boards are doing this. And there's more news. When we get back after the break, I got something to tell you about Big Pharma and how they are creating the worst pandemic in the history of the world through their pharma. We'll be right back after these short messages. This is Dr. Nick Begich on InfoWars.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders, these are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies, the dark murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Jones Show.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Nick Begich standing in this last hour and covering the healthcare issue a little bit in the last segment. And I want to jump back into that, just to kind of recap. Pharmaceutical industry, 60% of the cost of medicine in the United States, 40% of that is advertising to people that cannot make the decision to buy the product. And the simple solution, eliminate the deductibility, the tax deductibility of advertising for prescription drugs, including the doctor perks that are handed out, trips and whatever. Make those not deductible to the pharmaceutical industry. And you have just ended a huge problem of both overpricing of medicine and controlling the media, because too much of the media's revenue stream is derived from this very same source. It's a collaboration, for goodness sake. When you think about you can't cut off the speech, but you don't have to reward speech that works against us. And then set the price. At the federal level, say that they cannot wholesale a medical prescription drug in the United States for one penny more than anywhere else, allowing for transportation adjustments that they sell it in the world, so that we're paying on an equal playing field, and then let the retail market sort it out in terms of competition. But we're not. You have to go run to Canada to try and buy it, but it doesn't stop there. The medical industry is 18% of the entire gross national product. And we're rated somewhere in the 40s by both Bloomberg and the World Health Organization in terms of efficiency and quality of care. Ecuador is in the 20s and spends 7% of their gross national product on medical care. And they're better at efficiency and quality of care than the United States by leaps and bounds. And that, those aren't the only statistics. Yet, when you think about this industry, the pharmaceutical industry, let me tell you something I did recently. The biggest pandemic headed our way is opiates. And we all hear about heroin, the cheap one. And then you now have oxycodone, and you know the big lawsuits have been settled there for billions. But now they're applying that strategy all over the world where they're not going to have lawsuits. You're going to create addicts everywhere. And fentanyl, much more powerful than oxycodone, it can be manufactured right in the country by these black marketers and is even worse. Now, let me give you some examples of what's happened there. Oxycodone, a reporter in West Virginia, followed a story where 9 million capsules went into the community of Kermit, West Virginia. 9 million capsules in a year of oxycodone for a whole population of 400, right? Well, the reporter reported on the DEA, says, yeah, we're following it. We're going to nail them, and they nail them. And then in 2016, the Congress made it illegal for the DEA to use that method of catching these distribution channels. Directly from the pharmaceutical industry, where they know what's going on and where it's going, to not provide that basic data. It doesn't tell anybody who's getting prescribed. No HIPAA rules are violated. Nobody's privacy is violated. Just the corporation's flow of drugs from one place to another. It ought to be documented, and it's not documented in a way that DEA can now use that to go after these suppliers. They're just drug dealers. And where the literature shows that you have to attack the problem is at the distribution channels, which includes two channels, the black market that we all know about, and then there's the so-called not black market, which is doctors overprescribing medications in a way that is criminal. Quite frankly, and they just convicted one here in Alaska of this. He was traveling here. All the addicts knew who he was. This is a problem. But when the industry can preempt a law that allows DEA a tool that can stop it or choke it off, at least from one channel, their hands are tied. That's how powerful this industry is. It's time to bring them back to reality. Control pricing to equal whatever they wholesale anywhere else in the world, so we're not subsidizing the world on medications too, but we're all paying our fair share. One of the biggest, simplest things we can do. The other is tort reform as it relates to the pharmaceutical industry. This industry kills, they say, half of all of the people that die from medical malpractice are pharmaceutical interactions. Half. That's 50,000 people a year, according to Harvard, as of 10 or 15 years ago. This is more than dying. All the wars, active wars going on in the world right now, in terms of Americans, nobody even talks about it. 50,000 people from drug overdose. You know how easy it is to solve? Every time you prescribe a prescription drug, it ought to be databased so a computer analog can judge the interactions and immediately notify the doctor. Wow. Simple solution. It saves 50,000 lives a year, avoids half of the tort lawsuits a year. You know, it's not a case of tort reform to limit our ability to sue somebody that messes us up. But let's get rid of the lawsuits to begin with by solving the problem so people don't die from this industry that overcharges and puts everyone at risk because of it. And now the solutions aren't about it's mandating coverages, it's forcing us to buy overpriced products. This is fundamentally wrong. So you have to go after the big pharma, not because capitalism is wrong, it's because capitalism is right. And a level playing field is fair. But this is what multinational companies that do not care about American interests, because corporate interests are not our interests in this instance. We need to look at this. And then we need to look at the background research. You know, how much American taxpayer university research pays for so much of the fundamentals that eventually ends up in these pharmaceuticals. So, I mean, we're paying it in so many different ways. And I'm not saying those aren't good things. But how we manage this in the public interest does matter. What we do in the future about these things does matter. And the fact is, advertising in venues that make no sense from a real standpoint, what are they trying to do? Put pressure on patients, to pressure doctors to increase sales, whether it's in your health interest or not, and to get you hooked on a reoccurring revenue source that pops in every month for your new prescription. But if it's going to be the case, if this is a pharmacy we want, let it be one that reflects honesty, integrity, and the true market conditions within a democratic republic that goes beyond political influence. This has been Dr. Nick Begich today, again, on InfoWars. Alex is coming up in the next two segments. Check out my website, earthpulse.com, earthpulse.com, to get more information on what we're up to. And we'll be back next month in a number of segments, the fourth hour of Fridays. Watch for us there. Dr. Nick Begich signing off again for InfoWars.com.
A lot of you are going to go to prison. Trump has only been letting you have rope, like a fish you let run out on that line. You only hold back to get him tired. Run deep, bitch. Run hard. Because when I'm done, we're turning the engines on and I'm getting strapped in and we're hauling your ass in on metal line and we're going to chop you up on the deck with cold beer on shore and fry your ass and enjoy you. And you will make us strong. You will feed us, cowards. But we never start the fight, scum. We only finish it. Like King George III or Hitler or Hirohito, get ready to have your ass handed to you.
Flawless victory.
Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying.
Alex Jones is going to hear this. He's going to say, why is CNN out to get me? Why are you trying to take me down?
What's happened with InfoWars? Why are they still on Facebook?
Does it stop with Jones, or does it also go transfer to other outlets?
I want to know how you're dealing with all these conspiracy theorists on your platform.
That man's a threat to this country.
They engaged in premeditated defamation. These people are all lawyers. They're very smart. They've defamed me in fake lawsuits they filed, funded by the Democratic Party, knowing they're protected filing false statements under defamation in lawsuits. And then they do it as members of Congress, protected with immunity for false statements. But some of them made mistakes and made public statements outside of Congress when they're not sitting in their chairs. So I am forced, as I've done with anti-slap suits and other operations, to prepare lawsuits. I've sent the tort letters as of today to them. And I've got those letters right here letting Congressman Dutch and Congressman Raskin know that they are on notice of our lawsuits. I don't want to file these lawsuits, but I cannot continue to allow them to lie. They went in with an ADL Southern Poverty Law Center script. Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL write a lot of the reports for Soros-run Media Matters. And I know word for word that was Media Matters. And they said, Jones says no one died at Parkland in Florida this year, Valentine's Day, one of my daughter's birthday, and that Jones has bullied them. There's no video. There's no statements.
And in the weeks after the shooting, Alex Jones's YouTube channel posted a video that was seen by 2.3 million subscribers, alleging that these were merely that these were actors and not real students who had experienced the most horrific thing anyone could possibly imagine. The video violated YouTube's rules against bullying, and it was removed. An article posted to Slate.com describes this as a strike against the channel. Ms. Downs, how many strikes does a channel get?
Typically, a channel gets three strikes, and then we terminate the channel.
So the reason I ask is Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying.
Their moderators from Bloomberg, from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Bloomberg reported, falsely made claims that I said nobody died, and then I went and bullied them. David Hogg, a day after the event, started working for the Democratic Party in Soros, flying around on private jets, being anti-gun spokesperson. I said he's a PR man and that he was an actor at the school, part of the drama club, so he's well-spoken, and he's been chosen to be anti-gun. I said I believe people died, and I believe he's a real student. But they misrepresented and said that I bullied him and said that nobody died, even though he's a public figure. I would have a right to say that. I didn't say that.
When Alex Jones posted the video you described saying that the survivors of the Parkland massacre were crisis actors, that violated our harassment policy. We have a specific policy that says if you say a well-documented violent attack didn't happen and you use the name or image of survivors or victims of that attack, that is a malicious attack and it violates our policy.
I did not post a video doing that. It was all over the news. They had to remove all the strikes. They were putting strikes on videos that I put up showing what I'd said that I didn't say it. And you got your asses kicked because I had Infowars.com and I had Newswars.com and I was able to counter and show what I said. And that's why you're pissed. So she knows this all full well. It's a huge controversy. So she says, oh, we took down, she re-defames me, says it, and then it continues. Here we go.
Alex Jones posted the video you described saying that the survivors of the Parkland massacre were crisis actors. That violated our harassment policy.
Pause again. Specific policy. They just opened themselves up to defamation, but I know she thinks she's in a congressional hearing and can do it. I don't even want to sue these people. Lady, you know who I am. You're obsessed with me. We have Project Veritas internal videos. Because I'm the guy that won't sell out. I'm the guy that stands up against the psychopaths. You're all just the scared leftists that got controlled by them because you're a bunch of Stockholm Syndrome people. So you just defame me again, saying Alex Jones posted it and we took it down. No, I didn't, and you know that. So here's the deal. I'm already banned on YouTube. I'm already delisted on Google. I'm already restricted down to nothing on Twitter and on Facebook. And let me give you the big secret. We never got really new listeners off those. We never even monetized things, maybe 10%. It was always talk radio and TV and our own websites. It's all trash. It's all bots. It's all like inflated Zimbabwe currency on Facebook, YouTube, and Google, and Twitter. We never even needed you guys. You, though, wanting to shut us down and take you off your dirty, fake, fraudulent platforms illustrated that we were the zeitgeist and that it created the Streisand effect. So now that you've already stuck your arm in the badger hole, that you've already stuck your directly in the wood chipper, in the garbage disposal, now I'm going to tell you that you just came into a trap, you dumb trendies that think you're so... Your families didn't start the country. Your families weren't involved in Magna Carta. They didn't die at San Jacinto. They didn't sell their holdings in New York to start Texas and Sacramento. They are nothing. You come from followers. You are broken. And now, only now, will I begin to tell you your destruction. It's so sweet on your own platforms, this message is delivered. It's so luscious. You, the cowards. You, the traitors. You, the enemies Only now we'll begin to realize you're going to be broken up. A lot of you are going to go to prison. Trump has only been letting you have rope like a fish you let run out on that line. You only hold back to get him tired. Run deep, bitch. Run hard, because when I'm done, we're turning the engines on and I'm getting strapped in and we're hauling your ass in on metal line and we're going to chop you up on the deck with cold beer on shore and fry your ass and enjoy you. And you will make us strong. You will feed us, cowards. But we never start the fight, scum. We only finish it. Like King George III or Hitler or Hirohito, get ready to have your ass handed to you.
Facebook and other tech giants do not want to be in the business of deciding what's true or what's false.
Right.
They would much rather let the algorithms just, you know, demote really ugly content have to make decisions.
Yeah, I think that's why Facebook does not really want to take a position on this. They don't want to ban them outright because they're afraid that that's going to be seen as censorship against conservatives and particularly the pro-Trump media. It does really beg the question, do these tech giants have a responsibility to stem misinformation online? And if it does it stop with Jones or does it also go transfer to other outlets?
Alex Jones is going to hear this. He's going to say, why is CNN out to get me? Why are you trying to take me down?
Right.
Your reaction?
My reaction is I was asking a very simple question at a Facebook event where they said that they are stemming misinformation online, that they're very serious about combating misinformation, conspiracy theories, and fake news. And so I think the obvious question is, how can you host the leading purveyor of conspiracy theories online while claiming simultaneously that you're serious about fighting fake news on your platform?
That's the question. Oliver, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian.
Good to see you.
Those are both very authoritarian, very anti-American, very dangerous individuals. All these people, like, how did we get this type of people running our lives? And do any of us feel safe with this type of crap going on? Because all I want is free market in America and religious freedom, and I'm a guy that loves everybody. And man, these people lie about me, and they cheat, and they steal, and they engage in fraud, and they piss all over this country. And everybody just better decide which side they're on. But as for Brian Stelter, Brian, you've been hated since you worked at the New York Times. You're a fraud. And I pick you out because you are the worst example of humanity. And you will be defeated.
Flawless victory. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Globalists are desperate. They are openly attempting to start proxy wars between the United States and Russia and the countries surrounding Russia from Central Asia into Southern and Central Europe. Bernie Sanders introduced a nightmare resolution that had Republican and Democrat support in the Senate and would have passed. It's being reported by Reuters that he had the overwhelming votes to pass the resolution. Some estimates were it would be 99-1. But thanks to the rules in the Senate, Rand Paul was able to block it. Listen to this. Rand Paul blocks Bernie Sanders' resolution demanding more Russia sanctions. Paul objected to the resolution, saying it was a sign of Trump derangement syndrome coming to the Senate. Senator Rand Paul on Thursday blocked a resolution from Senator Bernie Sanders to implement even more sanctions against Russia, demanding Trump speak with special counsel Robert Mueller and back the intelligence community assessment on imaginary Ruski meddling. Now, back that up a moment. Compel the executive branch to speak to their own supposed employee. That is so unconstitutional, but it gets worse. In the full resolution, it would install Rod Rosenstein as a co-president, giving him presidential powers in the Justice Department, and Congress would basically take over the executive branch and install Rosenstein like a new pope or something. I mean, this is a real attempted coup. Now, you notice Rosenstein changed the order of succession and power in the Justice Department so that he was in control of the Justice Department and then tricked Trump into signing it in his first month in office, back when he thought McCabe and all them were being fair. Now we all know the truth. They're a cabal of Democrats. So think about all this. This is so crazy. And that's a whole separate issue from how they're trying to start war with Russia and how the left is foaming at the mouth for it, along with the neocons. Sanders asked for unanimous consent to try to pass a resolution saying, "We must act if they are serious about preserving American democracy. The Congress must make it clear that we accept the assessment of our intelligence community with regard to Russian election interference in our country and in our democracy," Sanders said during the Senate floor speech. In fact, let's just hear from him now.
"What this resolution says is we're going to tell Russia stop interfering in our elections. What this resolution is about is to tell Russia to stop interfering with democratic countries all over the world in their elections. What this resolution is about is saying that we should implement the sanctions overwhelmingly voted by Congress. What this resolution is about is that we will not accept interference with the ongoing investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, and that what this resolution says is the president must cooperate with the investigation of Mr. Mueller." That's what this resolution is about.
Under the Senate rules, any one senator could block his request. Sanders' resolution would also demand already passed sanctions legislation be fully implemented, even to protect the election system and to not accept interference in Mueller's investigation, including the firing of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. If we'll let Homeland Security, run by Democrats, take over the election process and all 50 states' attorney generals, remember they tried that, and you've got to let Rod Rosenstein be the new deputy president, or basically the king, I guess co-president, and you just got to do whatever Sanders says. But Paul objected to the resolution. We're going to play it in a moment, saying it was a sign of Trump derangement syndrome coming to the Senate. Paul has been one of Trump's most vocal defenders in the Congress in the wake of the president's sit-down with President Putin earlier this week. Here is Senator Rand Paul.
"Trump derangement syndrome has officially come to the Senate. The hatred for the president is so intense that partisans would rather risk war than give diplomacy a chance. Does anybody remember that Ronald Reagan sat down with Gorbachev and we lessened the nuclear tensions? We need to still have those openings. Nobody is saying or excusing Russia's meddling in our elections. Absolutely, we should protect the integrity of our elections. But simply bringing the hatred of the president to the Senate floor in order to say, we're done with diplomacy, we're going to add more sanctions and more sanctions. You know what? I would rather that we still have open channels of discussion with the Russians. Kennedy, at the height of the Cold War, had a direct line to Khrushchev, and it may have prevented the end of the world. Should we be so crazy about partisanship that we now say, we don't want to talk to the Russians, we're not going to have relations with the Russians? We should stand firm and say, stay the hell out of our elections, but we should not stick our head in the ground and say, we're not going to talk to them. I would like to see the Russians leave Ukraine. I think we could do it through diplomacy. We're not going to have it if we don't talk to them. I would like to see the Russians help more with North Korea, with denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. We're not going to have it if we just simply heap more sanctions on and say we're not going to talk to the Russians, and anybody that talks to the Russians has committed treason. For goodness sakes, we have the former head of the CIA, John Brennan, gallivanting across TV, now being paid for his opinion, to call the president treasonous. This has got to stop. This is crazy hatred of the president. This is crazy partisanship that is driving this. So I could not object more strongly to this. Mr. President, I object."
Yes, it is Trump derangement syndrome indeed. Don't forget, Slimy Sanders earlier on was the only other person that voted last year with Rand Paul to not expand these sanctions. These are acts of war. The West has been messing with Russian elections for decades. The West funded by George Soros, overthrew Ukraine, started this whole thing. Russia came in and helped us defeat ISIS. Russia faces the same globalist enemies, and there's no reason we should allow the neocons, Hollywood, the mainstream media, and all the rest of these globalist operations, like the Pope and the Chi-Coms, to manipulate us into a real war or a proxy war with Russia. This is against our interests. It's insane. Russia is not our enemy. That's just a fact. If they were, I'd expose it. It is China that owns our debt. China that's infiltrated our universities. China that has bought up Hollywood. China that is fomenting all this leftist garbage and went to Davos, their dictator, a year and a half ago and said, I will defeat Trump. I will work with Juncker. I will work with the EU. We are basically unstoppable. So that's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where we stand as a society, as a culture. And it's simply insane that we've now gotten to this point, because despite Paul blocking this Mitch McConnell combine, is going to try to pass it in the House and then force it back into the Senate, and then Paul won't be able to block it. So this is where our country's going. I think we should call Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, all the rest of these guys, and say, hey, why don't you do something about the Office of Personnel Management hack that was given to China by Obama? The ultimate treason. Why don't you do something about the $900 billion trade deficit with China? Why don't you do something about all those issues that have destroyed this country and our industrial base and annihilated our national security, instead of showboating and grandstanding and dogpiling the president, claiming that he's a Russian agent because all he did was go after a year and a half and had an overdue meeting with President Putin about working on security issues, fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and so many other things. This is unbelievable to see the traitors, to see the globalists in both parties, desperate to keep this country under their control, pointing their finger at patriots across this country, like myself, Roger Stone, and many others, and the American voters. They point their finger at American voters, and they say, you didn't elect President Trump. You didn't decide to say no to Hillary Clinton. No, you are controlled by Putin. You are mind-controlled by a country that, again, can't even hardly keep its own nation running. This is an insult and a slap in the face of America, and Americans see through it. There's Gallup polls out showing that hardly anybody even cares about Russiagate. They're so sick of it. They know it's a fraud. But the crazed leftists love it because they're going to use it to take over American elections. They're going to use it to federalize things if they can remove Trump, to overturn the 2016 election, and then bring in an iron grip of control over this nation so we never have real elections again. They know they're beaten. They know they've been stopped fair and square. They know there's been a political realignment, and they are now scared to death and trying to bring in a final tyranny, a final revolution against the American people. So this is the fight for this country. Make no mistake, this isn't like other elections. And a lot of people are asleep out there. You need to get awake and understand that their attacks on free speech, Trump supporters, the president, their calls for his assassination are exponentially, logarithmically increasing, and they're making their move this late summer into the fall. They admit they're making their move. That's why the censorship has been ratcheted up. That's why the president's been shadow banned on Twitter. He must speak out against it. That's why you must speak out against it. That's why we've got to get totally motivated and ring the alarm bells as modern Paul Revere's. I'm Alex Jones, back to the live transmission with Owen Schroyer from the ATX. Please spread all the live links and tell folks about the station you're listening to. Without you, the globalists will win. With your help and action, we will be victorious, because you are the resistance.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.